This is PFW in Progress.
What are you going to do today?
Whatever I feel like I want to do. God.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
What did you do last summer again?
I told you, I spent it with my uncle in Alaska hunting wolverines. They kept trying to attack my cousins. What the heck would you do in a situation like that?
Paul Perillo.
Are you going to eat your tots?
No.
Can I have them?
Give me some of your tots.
No, go find your own.
Come on, give me some of your tots.
No, I'm freaking starved. I didn't get to eat anything today. Freaking idiot.
And Andy. And Andy?
Well, you have a sweet bike, and you're really good at hooking up with chicks.
Andy Hart.
Plus, you're like the only guy at school who has a mustache.
That's true.
Some guy named Tom.
If you need to use any of my skills, I can do whatever you want. Plus, I could be your bodyguard, too. Or, like, Secret Service captain or whatever.
Sweet.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
She's the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm 100% positive that she's my soulmate. I'm sure there's a babe out there for you, too. Peace out.
PFW in Progress.
What the heck are you guys doing? Trying to ruin my life and make me look like a friggin' idiot?
Just the two of us.
You've been waiting all week just to say that.
We can make it if we try, just the two of us.
All right, we're going to have to put a break on the singing.
Just the two of us.
Oh, Jesus.
That's right, folks. Tuesday.
That's a new all-time record, Gary. 30 seconds before we had train wreck status for PFW in progress.
Yeah, Paul Perillo, that's my guy.
Don't sing to me like that. That makes me uncomfortable.
You and I. It's Tuesday, July 15th, guy.
It is Tuesday, July 15th.
9 days before training camp, and guess what?
It's a very sensitive subject.
It's just you and me today. No Fred Kirsch.
He's probably still... You want to hit it again?
Oh, you got the old... All right, Gary. Good man.
What is wrong with you?
I
took 1 week off.
Right.
When did you develop a personality?
That might be the new record for the earliest we play the circus music, though.
Yeah, well, it's deserved. Well deserved.
Well, you know, Fred Kirsch is probably still recuperating from his party.
No Andy Hart.
No Fred Kirsch.
No Fred Kirsch. And, Tom Casale, as everybody knows now, is leaving. And
yep.
I'm really sure where he is right now. But
he's not here bothering
us. We do have some guests today.
Actually, that's true. Yeah, Gary's behind the glass today, along with Mini Gary, who was
that's
here
a good
just
point,
a few
Eric.
Weeks ago.
We have the Sopranos with us today.
That's right, Tony and Christopher.
Tony and Christopher.
Our interns. How you doing, fellas? Yeah, turn your mics
now,
on.
Now, they're extremely on the young side, so it did not surprise me during the Napoleon Dynamite opening that they were just giggling.
Stop trying to bait me, Paulie. You know what my problem is.
Laughing at every line of the Napoleon Dynamite. That's like your mantra, right?
Yeah, it was
that
funny
movie for you guys?
Yeah, it's what we grew up with, so, you know.
Now, what we grew up with.
Christopher had obviously didn't pay off some bets because he came in here with a sling on his arm.
He was fine when he started.
He
when
was.
I went on vacation, there was nothing wrong with him. I come back, he's all banged up, he's got black eyes.
What,
I have a sling
on
one arm. Claims it's a lacrosse injury. Lacrosse, yeah.
Hey,
I have no doubt that a
something?
Stick was involved.
Right. Yeah, but it wasn't during a game, obviously.
Hey,
who do you want money to?
Use your guys' phone for a sec?
I'll tell you, you're going to get him with every single line. It's unbelievable.
Yes!
You got to talk into the mic.
Right. I'll be fine.
Otherwise, we're going to hit Kyle territory.
Why don't you go eat a decrepit piece of crap?
The injury was completely non-office related, so don't
shut
you
up.
Don't need to worry about that while you were gone.
I'm not buying it. Yeah, I think Andy had roid rage and went wild.
Tom got pissed off.
You owe money to Tom?
Yes.
I can't help you there, my friend.
No.
If you owe money to people, you got to pay your debts.
All right, well,
Tony's a man of few words over there. Look at him.
There's really
I'm just taking it all in.
He's going to get us lunch today, so.
Well, he is responsible for lunch because he did make the phone call.
That's right.
I think he screwed
the clock
up.
Is ticking.
It is.
Did you make that call back
the
when we
told
you
the clock is ticking.
I made the call. I just don't know. It seemed like someone new was working there, and I don't know what happened.
Don't start blaming it on the other people.
So what do we got today, Eric?
Well, we're 9 days
in
off.
In a new week. Nine days before the start of training camp.
Can you believe this?
I'm a little bit...
Where did our offseason
go? There's the excitement of training camp in the new year, the start of a new year, but it really, I'll tell you, the offseason gets shorter and shorter, and I'd like to enjoy a little bit more summer, but I'm not ready. I'm not quite ready yet.
No, I'm ready for the start of the regular season.
Yeah.
This whole training camp.
Regular
thing?
Season time is that's exciting. That's exciting all around.
Yeah. And then we just got off a press
conference call
a few minutes ago with Andre Tippett going into the Hall of Fame. We had some national reporters from around the country asking him, getting a little preview for Not this coming weekend, not the following weekend, but the weekend after that. Hall of Fame induction ceremony. Yeah, I'm trying to do the math in
there
my head.
Go.
I couldn't think of it.
It was my
but it's an exciting time around the offices here because, you know, we all have a connection to Andre because he works with us. We see him every day. We talk to him every day. I can't say that about any other member of the Hall of Fame. You know, it's something that's a little bit special for us, not to sound, overly dramatic about it. But we all consider him a friend. He's a great guy. We're really happy for him and excited for him.
This is Eric, Andre Tippin. That's not what we're looking for.
You're going to be heading to Canton, not for the right reasons, but you're going to be covering the event.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be a lot of fun. You'll give us all the lowdown on his speech and the other activities that go on during Hall of Fame weekend.
Aside from our personal connection to him, it's rare that we have a Patriot who spent his entire career here going into the Hall of Fame.
That's true.
You know, we've had the Mike Haynes, the Nick Buonaccone's, you know, Hannah was the only one of those of that group that's in there now who spent his whole career.
But it's nice to get a few more. Now, that's four guys now, you know, that are in the Hall of Fame. There's probably
there'll be a few more in the future, obviously.
You know, another thing that I'm not sure how much you guys talked about this last week, but when Ben Coates was inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame, he's another guy that possibly, I'm not saying it's a lock, but he's got a possibility of getting into Canton one day. That'll be another guy that spent almost all of his career with the Patriots, but certainly will be going to the Hall of Fame as a Patriot. That's for his work as a Patriot.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And, he certainly left no bones about it. I don't know if you heard any of his conference call.
I was on his conference call, too.
But he flat out said, I'll be waiting for that call from Canton.
I actually asked him that question.
Well, of course. You know, I should have known that to elicit the best response, only the best could ask that question.
Oh,
and
man.
That would be you.
The Mutual Admiration Society. I don't know if people are going to be
I don't know if you're really getting this admiration. Hey, good job, Tony.
I told you,
you've done good. You've done good.
I can handle these things.
You've done good, Tony.
Some wings.
You mocked it real good.
But unlike,
you mocked it real good.
Unlike
you did
Fred
a good
Kirsch,
job.
I'm not going to take the 12:09 break.
No, you got to wait for the 12:22 break.
We got a little bit more to go here. 508-543-7482 is the phone number if you want to call in and join us. Webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Obviously, the big NFL news story that's been for the last two weeks.
Just will not go away.
And I can't wait for it to, but it doesn't look like it's going to, is this nonsense with Brett Favre wanting to come back to the NFL.
I want to watch Brett Favre.
And did you happen to see or hear about last night his appearance on the record?
I had read about it yesterday during the day. I did not watch the interview last night. I don't really have much of an interest in watching a news reporter who really isn't versed on the situation, Brett Favre.
My first reaction to that was, what is he doing making a statement like that on a news channel?
Why her?
News report, and why her?
Why not, you know, Peter King or Chris Mortensen or, you know, one of the national writers that he has, he has good relationships with virtually every member of the media.
How dumb is Peter King?
We all have made some criticisms of Brett Favre, but he's a pretty good guy. Brett Favre's a good guy. Certainly, you know, publicly anyway. I don't know, and I guess we don't know what goes on behind closed doors with any of these guys, but based on what we know, he's been a pretty good guy. Why he wouldn't choose to have one of these national writers that he knows and has a relationship with to tell his story? I thought he did harm to his cause last night.
I thought that
he made Green Bay more sympathetic. I think a lot of people nationally were kind of on the side of Green Bay to begin with, the team.
Mm-hmm.
Locally, that might be a little bit different because of the admiration of Favre, and rightly so. The guy's been a great player for a lot of years. But I thought that last night he didn't do himself any favors. I don't think he won over anybody in the court of public opinion with the way he talked. And like I said, I read about a lot of the quotes before. I didn't watch the interview. I didn't see the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I read a lot about some of the excerpts of what he said beforehand. And I just think that he kind of came off whiny. To me, you know, they don't want me to play. Well, no, they don't. They wanted
retired.
To know in March
you
retired, and they then went about their whole offseason assuming that you wouldn't be there.
I didn't feel welcome in Green Bay, is I think what it's
But you're
was.
Not.
Exactly.
You're not welcome in Green Bay. You didn't, I mean, I just think it's whiny. They have a guy that they've groomed for this spot in Aaron Rodgers. They went out and drafted guys. They drafted Brian Brown. They have guys in place. They want to move forward. At the same time, why should they release you?
Right.
Why should they just give up a commodity? That's a valuable commodity.
Right.
If they can't get anything for you.
And they certainly will get something.
Right. But if they can't get anything for you, why should they just release you so someone can get you for nothing?
Right.
That doesn't make any sense for Green Bay. It seems like that's he wants his cake. He wants to eat it too. It's
worse than Spurgeon Wynn.
And that to me is unfortunate because I think he's really tainting his legacy. Not Absolutely. By playing, but by the way he's acting.
Going about this whole thing is not.
And I'm not a Brett Favre basher. The way a lot of it's become kind of vogue now because the John Madden thing with the over the top admiration of the media. I'm not in that camp, but he has been a good player for a lot of years, and I think he's ruining his reputation right now.
I agree, and I think if he had tried to call it quits sooner, like maybe 2 years ago before. When he started that gradual
decline.
Well,
if he hadn't been doing this every year, I think I would feel different. But this is the third or fourth year in a row. He's holding the team hostage.
The final regular season game, I think 2 years ago, they played, the Bears, and it was a national game. And he was coming off the field and was being interviewed by whoever the sideline reporter was.
Crying.
He started crying. And everyone thought, all right, that's it. He's going to announce his retirement. Then he came back, had the great year last year, then has this press conference and starts crying all over again. It's the boy who cried wolf.
Right. And now I'm guessing last week when you guys did your shows that most of the listeners were on the Packers side, the anti-Favre side.
Yeah, I think most people are getting
a lot of our listeners don't even think he was a good player to begin with.
Well, that's ridiculous.
Well, people like you.
No, I thought, what are you talking about?
You don't think anybody's good.
I always thought Favre was a good player.
You think Roethlisberger stinks.
He's the one player I think stinks. Painting with a broad brush there, Paul.
They call all the quarterbacks that are actually good stink, except for Tom Brady.
No, most people are just sick of the story itself.
Well, that's how I feel. I am sick of the story, and I wish that he would just kind of go away.
And he's not
and I like him. I do. I genuinely like the guy. I think he seems like he's a pretty down-to-earth, for a celebrity superstar, I think he seems like a pretty down-to-earth guy. I'm not really...
I don't think he's realizing what he's doing to himself, or nobody's telling him what he's doing to himself.
I have heard some of the commentators talk about this too. Are the Green Bay Packers better or worse with or without him this year? And they all say, of course they're better. Well, how do we know that? How do we know that, first of all, there's nothing to prove that Brett Favre could he play even as well as he played last year again? Because that was a big spike up. Based on the last three or four years.
Exactly.
Okay, number one. He was much more consistent on the positive side last year than he had been the previous two or three seasons. That's number one. Now, if you couple onto that what Andy always talks about, and very accurately for a fathead like Andy, the two biggest games last year, he was terrible. The Dallas game and then the NFC Championship against the Giants. He was absolutely awful, especially in that Dallas game, which he probably cost his team a chance to go to the Super Bowl in because of the way he just messed up, messed around and threw the ball all over the place. And then he throws the big pick in overtime against the Giants. As well as he played, he still showed those signs of those mistakes that have really been prevalent over the last several years. Mm-hmm. I see no indication that he's going to be able to have a better year or at least even as good a year as he did last year. How do we know what Aaron Rodgers can do? Maybe Aaron Rodgers can't play a lick.
Yeah, but we need to give the kid a chance.
How do you know that? Wouldn't you have been very reasonable to suggest in 2001, and you guys know how I feel about Bledsoe, but wouldn't it have been reasonable to suggest, are the Patriots better or worse if Bledsoe gets hurt or not? And 95% of New England would have said, well, the season's over if Bledsoe gets hurt. What's Tom Brady going to do?
Right.
Well, you didn't know. And then he got in there, and he was better than Bledsoe.
Right. Now, we've seen Rodgers play a couple of times.
I said I was wrong. I thought the team would suffer without Bledsoe, and I was wrong.
Now, Rodgers came in the Patriots game two seasons ago.
And he looked terrible.
Looked awful, but that was in a game when the Patriots
were destroying the Packers. But he was great that night against Dallas.
Right.
Last year, he was great. He almost brought them back in that game and got them competitive. Mm-hmm. I don't know if the guy can play or not. All I know is I can't make the definitive statement that they're better with Brett Favre in 2008 than they would be without him.
No.
Maybe Aaron Rodgers has every bit as good a season as Brett Favre did last year, only he doesn't have those two brain farts in the two biggest games.
Right. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Brent from Illinois says, I think that the two people listening turned off when Eric started to sing, and I thought Fred singing the PFW jingle was bad. Have fun talking to yourselves, guys. But no, he does have a serious question for us. Is there any news on the potential signings of early round draft picks? Do you think there'll be any holdouts or that the uncertainty about the uncapped year is holding things up?
There will be no concern really about the uncapped year, based on what I'm told. I'm not exactly sure what the holdup has been about. I'm not really overly concerned about it because generally these things tend to get done as camp approaches, and I would expect in the next week we'll see those five other guys that are unsigned.
Rude and Slater are the two.
They're the only two that signed. So we still have Mayo and Crable and O'Connell and Will Height and Wheatley, right? So there's a lot of names still out there unsigned. But based on, wanted to get back to that uncapped year thing, we had talked to some of the people in the Patriots personnel area, and this is not necessarily as big a deal, this uncapped thing, as it was the last time, 2 years ago, when they were facing the possibilities of this. Because the cap has grown so much, they don't have as much concern about getting it in. So, I'm sure there's some language in terms of the length of the deals and stuff like that they have to worry about. But I think that for whatever reason, it's slow developing. And I really have noticed, really around the league, didn't seem to me to be a tremendous amount of movement yet.
No, I think
I know there have been some signings, but
Malcolm Kelly signed
not a
with
ton.
Washington.
I saw Malcolm Kelly because I thought of strippers when
right.
I saw Malcolm Kelly sign.
Cliff Averill, I believe, signed with Detroit. Those are two of the big names that I can think of off the top of my head. But you're right. It's that time of year, though, when you're going to start seeing a little bit of a trickle the closer we get to training camp.
Right.
But even some of the bigger names, I don't think there have been that many first-rounders that have signed that I can think of off the top of my head.
No. So maybe it is, have something to do with the labor situation. But I'm just from what we're told, it's not a huge deal. Not a huge deal. I'm sure it's part of the consideration, but I don't think it's a deal breaker.
Funny, you mentioned the labor situation. Funny how?
Yeah.
What, do I make you laugh?
I hit one usually.
My clown?
Gary, where's all the droppings? You're over in here, and I don't get the witty little droppings.
Mini Gary's sitting over here, too, with his headphones on. What are you doing over there, kid?
Mini Gary with a seat for him, an extra one for his hair.
Are you trying
it's
to
lunch
intro?
Time.
Are you
it's lunchtime.
Oh, you're just here to eat?
Yeah.
So, Mini Gary, what did you think of Fred's party as you're on your first trip
I thought it was great.
The Kirschland.
Great food.
Shouldn't that be its own zip code?
Kirschland.
Oh, the estate. Kirsch family estate, yeah.
Did someone send an email once about like different countries that your guy's last name? Never mind.
What is he doing?
It was...
Bigger question is, how come your boss, Gary, wasn't
I can't believe that you were invited and Gary wasn't. I mean, I think that's an incredible
I wasn't invited
slap.
Either.
I was invited.
That's an incredible invited. Slap in the face of Gary, who's been...
I just crashed it.
He's been our trusty producer since this show's inception back in what? 1894?
Well, he's never been invited.
When did
well,
show
I,
start?
He's never been invited.
2000? 2001?
Probably before that.
Well, my first year was 99. I don't think we did it my first year.
2000 from South Park?
Yeah. There we go.
2000. And you've never been invited. You've
never been invited.
Never attended.
Mini Gary comes in with his exotic hairstyle, and he gets invited the first year. I mean, I don't really understand.
He took over like he owned the place.
The Sopranos were invited for God. I mean, they've been working here for like 20 minutes.
Kid, and the kid was walking around with his microphone.
I was working.
Sound bites from people.
I was working.
Doesn't even ask the host if he can use that on the premises. He's just walking around, recording things, getting people.
You got my son calling Andy Fathead
too. I would
rate
this spread here at Fred's house.
Unbelievable. Did you get enough to eat over there, Paul?
Did you get enough to eat?
When we were over there, Fred's?
No, I was a little tied up with some things. Over
the kids?
There.
He's such a liar.
Yeah,
I ate plenty.
All right.
Of course
right.
I eat. I'm a fat guy.
You.
Fat guys eat.
That's
fat guys find a way.
That's what I was concerned
fat
about.
Fat guys find a way.
Eric, how was the salmon?
I don't eat salmon. I don't eat seafood. You know that.
I have some of that audio. We can play it later on in the show.
Okay.
I wanted to play it now so I could eat.
It's not that long.
It's almost time for that 12-23 break.
No, we'll be all right. You mentioned labor. We were talking about the rookies a little bit
Something
ago.
Something you wouldn't know anything about.
Wow.
Labor.
Guy. What are you talking about? You and I wrote half this issue this past week, while everyone else was...
And all I heard was how Andy had to do the whole thing.
Nah, he was, yeah.
He did nothing.
He was ripping you for taking your week off, but...
He was ripping me for getting all my work done before my vacation, unlike him.
Well, you know how he is. We talked a little while back on the show.
Who invited you?
What's going on
Gary
here?
Gary invited me for wing.
I told him not to tell you.
You never know. Lori might stop by.
No, because we told you Thursday was going to be the wing day.
I like Thursdays, too.
How do you know?
Thursdays are good days. They're the day before Friday.
Now, you can't beat logic like that.
Not when there's wings. How come Dan's the only one eating?
Because we're on the air.
We're trying to do a show here, Laurie.
Oh, what are
you
talking about?
In case you haven't noticed. Brett Favre, what do you think about him coming back or not?
He's hot.
All right, well, here's what Joel in Merrimack, New Hampshire thinks about Favre. He says, guys, or what's left of you, talking about Favre, he's actually in the driver's seat as he has no trade agreement in his contract, giving him the right to veto any trade he doesn't like. He'll definitely play as a starter for someone this season, just not sure who. Question is, if they trade him, does the other team have to pick up his contract? $12 million is a pretty hefty price, even for Favre.
Well, either that or they'd have to redo the deal, like the Patriots did with Randy Moss.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he could agree to do that. I think he has 3 years and $39 million. I think it's even $13
million. I thought he was retired.
Yeah, but he's...
Eat your wings.
You never know. Laurie might stop by.
Eat your wings and look pretty over there, will you?
Wore a white shirt. It's going to end up all over me.
Just trying to be nice, Paul.
Yeah, I'm doing my best to...
Here.
I'm doing my best to adhere to the new rules.
I'm way outnumbered today.
You're always outnumbered.
Yeah, that's true.
Is Maura still in a good mood?
She's on cloud nine.
That's great.
I'm going to refrain, Gary.
That's great.
I should have brought her down. She could have talked about her wedding.
Yeah, that, I'm sure that the listeners would be clamoring for that talk.
Well, you know.
Anyway, similar to the Randy Moss situation, to answer the emailer's question about the trade,
Joel.
I think that when the team that trades for him would have to be able to absorb the cap hit initially, regardless, because he would actually have to be on the roster before you can renegotiate. So, for instance, when the Patriots did that with Moss last year. That day, they had to be in cap compliance,
mm-hmm.
and then they restructured the deal, and he signed that. I think he ended up getting like $5 million with incentives thrown in. The one-year deal, I think it was $3 million base with the incentives that got it up to five or something in that neighborhood, and obviously he has since re-signed a free agent deal. Something like that would have to happen with Favre. He would probably sign a one-year deal with the team that acquired him.
Now, let's say if
he wants to play, that's what you probably have to do, because I don't know how many teams that would be able to take on a $12 or $13 million cap hit at this stage of the offseason.
Right.
Not even offseason, at this stage of the eve of training camp. I'm not sure too many teams would be able to absorb that kind of a cap hit.
And let's say he goes to a team like the Ravens, who drafted Joe Flacco.
Although there is money out there, I should add, before I get questioned on that. I know that there are some teams that do have the money, but I don't know if they all would have the fit for Brett Favre.
Let's say he goes to Baltimore, has a decent year.
Who, by the way, has publicly said they have no interest.
Okay.
But that's not the point. No, thanks.
Right. And he has a decent year, maybe helps them make the playoffs. Does he keep it going at 39, try to come back? Does a team like that even want to keep him on, maybe mentor Flacco for another couple of years, something like that where he... Like in the Moss situation, he had the one-year deal. He turned out great, and now he's signed for three more years.
I don't know. I don't know what's. How can you sit there and accurately predict what Brett Favre is going to do at this point?
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have no idea what his plans are. I am not surprised that he's trying to come back, that he wants to come back, but I didn't think he would. If that makes any sense, you right from the start, you were adamant that he would play. He'd be back and he would play.
Yeah, I wasn't buying the crocodile tears at the press conference.
No, I mean I wasn't either. I don't care about that kind of nonsense. But I didn't think that he would come back. But I'm not surprised that he did. You know, it's not. I mean, the way he has handled the last two, three, four off seasons, you can't be surprised that he's wavered back and forth.
My biggest beef with him is if. He felt this way when he was giving that press conference. Why didn't he, before that happened, come to some sort of agreement with the team about his future before he made that decision? Why didn't he say, look, I do want to play again. I realize you guys have this young kid. You might want to start thinking about the future. Let me at least search for another team. Why didn't they take care of this before that fiasco when he had the whole press conference and
supposedly,
had to go through this whole
rigmarole? He claims that he was the victim. You know, they held a gun to his head and made him make a decision immediately when he wasn't ready to make it and blah, 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 blah. I don't know. I don't have the answers for you.
But they obviously were looking to move in another direction. He could have said to them at the time, well, you're ready to move.
I'm guilty for retiring early, and there's no reason for that. And the major issue is, why did he retire? That's what Brett Favre says. I mean, like, he's painting himself out to be a victim. He's no victim here. He's no victim.
Hearing this and go, okay, that clears it up. You know, and there's going to be some people say, so what? And once again, them moving on does not bother me. It doesn't. I totally understand that. That was by me retiring March 3rd, I knew that could possibly happen. all I was saying is, you know, thinking about playing again. The itch has been used. That's been the word that has been used, if you want to say itch or, you know, the fire is coming back or whatever. If I'm going to play, it's going to be 100% commitment, and it's not going to be in March. And so if you moved on and you tell me one thing, don't come back and tell the public. Just say it.
That was Favre last night on the record with Greta Van Susteren on Fox News Channel. Again, I don't understand. Has this taken on a national news significance? Is that why
yeah.
he's... I mean...
That's all anybody's talking about sports-wise.
Sports-wise, but to go on a national news program, which doesn't deal with sports, on the record, on Fox News Channel...
One could argue they don't deal with news either, but you'd be all upset about that.
Cheap shot, Paulie. Has this taken on a significance that we're not seeing?
Not that I'm aware of.
I just don't get it. I mean, why...
Why this would be of interest to Fox News
yes.
Channel?
Or to any
I don't have
viewers
the answer
or why
I leave
thought
that,
that
to,
was...
to much smarter folks, you know, such as yourself. Anyway,
what do you got there?
Gary informs me that Gary's not alone in the people that are clamoring for more Lori.
Mm-hmm.
Don't ask me why. First of all, this emailer, I'm 40 years old. You got to get a bigger font here. This is much too small. I think I have a crush on her. Give me more Lori B. Is she as hot as she appears?
Well,
what's she really like? What kind of guys does she like? Is she a, quote, love or, quote, money kind of girl? That's from the Young Turk in Youngstown.
Buffalo wing girl.
I'll tell you right now. Yeah, buffalo wings and money.
And money?
Yeah. You love money.
I do. I hate money.
Every time I go away, you're always saying, bring me back a present.
Why don't you give me presents?
I don't love money. There's a difference.
You need money to buy presents.
But I'd be happy with stickers. I like presents. I like surprises. What's wrong with that?
Stickers.
Are you a love kind of girl?
What's she?
Yes, I'm a love
girl. What are you, six? You like stickers?
I'm just saying. It's not about material things.
It's
surprises.
Not about material things. You always want me to get gifts for you when I come back from my...
You could pick me a flower and I would just be as happy as ever.
Oh, that you would throw the flower in my face.
That's a lie.
Are you kidding?
Come on. I'm not like that.
I don't know.
You don't give me enough credit, Eric. I always stick up for you all the time and...
That is kind of true. You do kind of stick
here
up for me.
But,
oh, my God.
Is that stripper music? Gary likes to do that sometimes.
If Paul had his headphones on, he would have laughed at this song.
It's the way that you love me, Paul. You remember this, right? From back in the day?
Paula.
Yeah. Back before she...
Paula Abdul.
Went on that show that she's on now.
When she was somewhat sane.
She's fine.
She's fine. Hot Amy from England writes in.
She loves the color of the voice.
Yeah.
This is a good dance song.
So
the girl's dancing.
See, now, normally...
I thought Andy was out today.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to make sure that he is out today because
yes.
We're on our best behavior today.
Really?
We are.
You have another fan here, Hot Amy from England.
She's hot?
Yeah. Paul doesn't think so.
Eric thinks she is.
Why, Paul? What makes her not hot?
The fact that she makes fun of me all the time.
She says, did Lori mention wedding talk? Yeah, bring down the other girl and let's hear about it. Won't be as boring as listening to Brett Favre talk. I got bored after that 39-hour press conference. So,
well, Maura's getting married soon. She's on cloud nine. She's loving it. And Paul is hating it. I don't know why.
The fans should...
This Maura being happy? I just have never seen it before. I'm loving it.
Maura, by the way, is the graphics design expert who created our PFW
t-shirts.
In Progress t-shirts, 85,000 boxes of which are now piled up in Fred's office. So I don't think when Fred does get back from vacation, he's going to be able to get into his office because the...
The boxes?
Yeah, they stuffed all the boxes in there. So
how many boxes are there in all seriousness?
There are more than a dozen, and they're pretty big.
So we're going to take a bath on those shirts, too, huh?
And they just say, like, PFW in Progress?
On the front, there's the logo with the little catchphrase that we came up with, and it's an even bigger version of it on the back.
Cute.
Do I get one?
It's too quick for you to start.
$12.99.
Stuff.
Come on. $12.99?
Oh, come on. He's got a broken arm.
What are we selling him for?
I don't know. That's up to Fred S. Kirsch.
Whatever we're selling him for, we'll give you a break. We'll give you a buck
that.
Off.
All right, cool.
We seriously have, like, multiple boxes?
Yes. There's at least a dozen.
That's not good.
There's at least a dozen or more.
Have you been to pfwinprogress.com soon, lately?
Yes.
It looks awesome. He did a really good job on that.
Yes, Lori, thanks for joining the party.
You should be more thankful to him.
What are you talking about? We support him. We mention him every single day on the show.
Oh, that's nice.
James from Wales did a great job putting that site
together. He did. It looks really good.
Waiting in anticipation, though, for this Listener Map 2.0, which
many
of you have seen it. Yeah, but the Listener Map with the little thumbtacks and the listeners could put their pictures and a little note on there. Apparently, there was so much demand for that aspect of the site that James had to come up with a newer or a version that could support all the excess demand for it. So I don't know if it's up yet. I checked a couple of days ago and it still wasn't up. But
I had looked yesterday and it wasn't.
PFWinProgress.com. Go visit it if you haven't already. Great site. Very well
done. You can no longer vote for your favorite PFW guy, though.
No, that was only the first week. That was
a
long time ago.
Who won?
Tom.
Well, yeah.
Tom won?
Yeah, but he won, but there's a caveat there.
The caveat is that he voted for himself about 400 times.
He has 86,000 screen names on all these different message boards, and he writes nice things about himself under pseudonyms so that people
really. What happened to you? When I left.
I'm telling the truth.
When I left last week, you were just this regular guy who was content to get beat up by everybody else in the show.
No, that's inaccurate. That's inaccurate. But, no. So, you know, the problem that Tom has, and I'm going to give him a little advice because he likes to come up here and give
Now,
me
you
advice
know he's listening right
Of
now.
Course.
Wherever he is, you know he's listening.
Oh,
that's why I'm giving
him
advice.
So I'm going to laugh when he comes in and he smacks that bad look off your face.
That bad look.
But you know what?
But see, Tom's problem is when he goes on these boards, it's a blatant giveaway that it's him, no matter what the pseudonym is. Because, Tom, you write in the same style that you speak in. So there's the problem.
But you know what?
Yeah, exactly. When you type in WHA and you say, you know, this freaking sucks.
I'm just going to say, I'm not.
Exactly. We know it's you. Everybody knows it's you. So, you know, if you want to take that extra step and be creative, try to think of a different way to say how great you are in a different voice. You know, maybe even get some of your friends. Well, that wouldn't work because you don't have any.
The poll's still up.
Who's winning?
Accra. No.
Oh, not that.
No one can replace
it. Not that poll.
That's a travesty. Yeah, you weren't here last week.
I knew it was you, Fredo.
But
you broke my heart.
I'm so confused.
Godfather.
Oh.
Laurie.
Now, I can't really even imagine that. How'd you get confused?
I've never seen The Godfather.
Oh,
Oh, my God.
That's a travesty.
Don't talk to me for the rest of the day.
I'm not kidding. I want to see it. I just haven't had a chance to.
Well, you know, someday you'll get around to seeing that, you know, 40-year-old movie.
So the latest poll on PFWProgress.com.
I've seen Goodfellas and all that kind of good stuff.
You've seen Goodfellas?
Yes.
All right. Maybe we'll throw some quotes at you there later. But the poll up now is who should replace Tom on the show. There's a bunch of names. Christina Acrib, Brian Lowe. Our friend Michael Parenti, John Rook, and then I think there's no one can replace Tom. And right now,
let me guess, no one can replace Tom is winning.
Yeah, unfortunately it is. I mean, it's inaccurate, but the other members who are listed there actually have been campaigning for the job because this is an election year, you know, and there are some spots that have been created for each of them. And Gary, do you have any, one of those queued up? Do you want to fire that up?
Yeah, I think Rook's in last, so I'll play
start
his.
With him. Okay, we'll go in inverse order.
You want your new PFW in Progress co-host to have a voice, and John Rook has it. Big time. John Rook is the voice of Gillette Stadium, the voice of the three-time Super Bowl champs, the voice of Patriots Playbook. That's the show that's on after this show. And the voice of the New England Revolution.
The soccer team that plays here when the Pats have the day off.
Anyway, he's the voice to lead the next generation once Casale ends his term. And John knows who likes it in a bottle and who likes it in the can. Log on to PFWinProgress.com and vote Rook in 2008. And don't forget that whole biased lunch thing.
I'm John Rook, and I approve this message.
So there you go. That's the first ad campaign by John Rook to try to replace Tom Casale on the show.
Who are you guys voting for? Who would you like to replace Tom here?
Anybody but Tom. That's who I'm voting for.
Aw.
Come on.
Not nice.
No. Well, when has he ever been nice to me? Seriously.
He's a nice guy.
When has he ever been nice to me? Name one time.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah. Okay. All right, then.
He lets you write his stories all the time.
He lets me write his stories all the time? No, I don't think he does that. Paulie?
What?
Letting him letting me write his stories for him?
Paul, who are you voting for? Did you call him Paulie?
Yeah.
I was calling. That's a tough one. That's a tough one. Maybe we'll go with Christina.
Oh, that. Well, she's in second right now to Nobody Can Replace Tom. So if you factor out the 8,600 votes that Tom cast for himself, that would put Christina in first.
Does it have the breakdown?
Follow closely by somebody else. Somebody else is a category, not just any other name, but somebody else other than the name.
Who would
that are
be somebody
on.
Else?
Anybody.
Oh.
You know, maybe a listener or somebody who actually works in the business. Somebody who actually works in the business who actually has credentials, unlike Tom when he was hired first time around. Fred, that big mistake that Fred made.
Gary, this is unbelievable. What happened to him when I was gone?
He thinks that
did they have a fight?
Tom isn't looking at him that he won't hear this.
No, I know that Tom's listening.
Did you guys fight last week or something?
Yeah, a couple of times. Not physically, but, you know, we got into
a couple
of
There seems to be an awful lot of animosity.
Yeah, we had a little...
Tom interrupted Eric one time, and Eric got offended.
Whoa.
Wow.
Interrupted.
I leave
Tom?
1 week.
Yeah, there was...
1 week, and I missed the fisticuffs.
It was a little
and
bad.
And I miss you coming out of your little cocoon.
It wasn't as bad as that time when, you know, when he dropped the curse word on you. You know, it wasn't that. It came close, though. It came close to that. But
Paul, you know what else you missed?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed?
I was going to say that's. I was. You know, it's funny that you made that drop in. I was going to say that's pretty good, but it's no Craig.
Well, I think Gary took some advice from Andy in the Ukraine, who wrote in the other day saying...
Who's this singing?
That's our former, the late Craig from South Carolina.
Oh, late?
Well, we say he's late because he hasn't been calling into the show. Oh. He hasn't been writing in. We're a little concerned about him. We haven't heard from him. We've been asking him.
We think the Super Bowl put
him away. I was going to say the Super Bowl did him in.
That was the last time we heard
from
him.
The last anyone's heard from him.
Yeah. Or his brother. They both came to visit.
And they haven't bought you lunch or anything.
Well, we haven't had any communication at all. They haven't made any effort there.
What a shame.
But Andrew in the Ukraine had written, and if Gary can't find a way to arrange those clips into a duet of Craig and Eric doing the national anthem, he should be fired. Well, Gary just saved his job. That was good work by Gary.
I just kind of did that off the cuff anyway.
That's all right. That's what we've come to expect.
By the dawn's early light.
But yeah, but you were off all last week, Paulie, and you know, Fred was conducting interviews. He was having people come in, trying to convince him that they should be the right person to replace Tom on the not just on the show, but obviously in the paper and
any good ones
and on the web. That Fred said there were a couple that left some good impressions. Not going to mention any names, but you know.
Do you know any names?
We Dan know a couple of them.
Well, yeah. I know all the people that came in.
And you are approving of the people that came in?
Yeah, there was several worthy candidates, which mm-hmm. was nice to see.
Good.
And we'll be continuing that process, I think, for another week or so. And
any girls?
Not that I know of.
No? Gosh.
Not that I know of.
Always outnumbered around here. What does that mean?
I mean, stop talking about that.
All right. We'll just cap it there. I'll eat my buffalo wings.
No, but we better, you know, we got our busy time coming up, so the decision's going to be made soon, and, you know.
We'll get around to it.
We'll get around to it.
How's that plane meatball?
Why would they want to work with them anyway?
I don't really know. True point, sir. Good job.
All right, we're about ready for that break that we haven't taken yet.
We're pretty close. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address, 508-543-7482, the phone number. We'll get to more emails, more football talk, more nonsense right after this.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it! 1-0 Reds! The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Reds have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more, with a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop.
For pride, honor, and victory. The best clubs in Mexico take on the best of Major League Soccer. The summer's greatest soccer tournament is back. Superliga 2008. The rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos, Sunday, July 13th at 8 p.m. New England Revolution versus Pachuca, Wednesday, July 16th at 8 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. For tickets, call 617-931-2222 or visit Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Taylor Twellman, Chalry Joseph, and the New England Revolution. Take on the best clubs of Mexico in Gillette Stadium. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or visit revolutionsoccer.net. 1-877-GET-REVS or visit revolutionsoccer.net.
Check it out, a new website that's not just local, but wicked local.
A little local news, a little gossip, you get both. I love it.
WickedLocal.com is your place to chat, connect, share photos.
I take pictures of my kid's baseball game, I upload them, and then the whole team can see.
WickedLocal.com is a new way to connect online.
I'm your classic soccer mom. You know, play dates, the kids' school, we all make plans online. That's how we stay connected.
It's like a neighborhood block party. You can't get any more local than WickedLocal.com.
Hello, travel agency.
Hi. Yeah, I want to book a family vacation.
Great. What did you have in mind?
I don't know. Maybe Mars?
Mm-hmm.
But I hear Jupiter's really nice this time of year.
Interplanetary travel agents. When they exist, you'll find them with Yellow Book, the innovative local directory with many ways to help you find what you're really looking for. In print and online with yellowbook.com. For more information, call 1-800-YB-YELLOW. That's 1-800-YB-YELLOW or visit yellowbook.com today. Yellow Book. Say yellow to the future.
And now, great moments in PFW in progress history.
We don't have any catchy jingles. We should probably get some jingles for the show. You know, Patriots, PFW in progress.
That's another great moment from PFW in progress.
That's our fearless leader, Fred Kirsch, the first but not the only singer on the show.
But I will say, he takes a shift off, and the whole show falls apart.
Oh, come on, Paul.
This is no slam against you.
Eric takes it as a slam.
Yeah, I mean, it has nothing to do with you. I'm here, too.
I'm sitting in the Fred Kirsch seat. Oh, that's not right.
Oh, come on.
Gary called me 10 minutes into your show. He said, are you coming down? I said, I'm not really going to be able to add anything, but sure. Well. Bye.
When I host, I just say whatever I want. I pre-associate, and I make up the skits and bits right there. And people seem to enjoy it.
Love Christopher Walken. But anyway, speaking of Fred, we had a good time at his party the other day, no?
Oh, yeah. Good time had by all at the Kirsch Estate.
I was a little taken aback, though, when Minnie Gary came, roving reporter Minnie Gary came around with his microphone and his little voice recorder. And his hair preceded him. His hair came first.
His hair looks good.
Well, because he cut it. You saw how massive it was the other day.
He took a weed whacker to it.
No.
But he was going around soliciting quotes and other bits from people, and I think we got a few of those queued up.
Outstanding. As normal, Fred's a little bit above the rest of us in class, and it shows in, you know, affairs like this. As he mentioned in the invitation, Dan, or Mini Gary.
I didn't get an invitation. I found out this morning that I was invited.
That's true. Mini Gary, it was a catered affair, so it is catered. It is well beyond the means of any of his plebe employees. But we're all
well. He's never been.
What was
invited.
Your favorite dish? Was it the filet, the delicious tomato mozzarella salad, the salmon? What was it, Paul?
Well, I'm gonna go with TJ's favorite. I think the filet. You know, TJ at age 15 months seems to be partial to the filet. So I think. So what do you think, Thomas? More? All right. Yeah. I mean, I don't think there's any question about it, Gary. It's the filet.
I was going to say, right, yeah, he's chip off the
old into some more steak here. I'm going to leave him alone before he starts to bite my hand off.
So there's a little sample of the goings-on at the Fred Kirsch show.
And young T.J. Perillo was definitely a Perillo. He can eat. He put away a lot of that steak. 15 months.
Yeah, that's 15 impressive.
Months. Of course, Will, my oldest, was looking for a hot dog, and I had to explain to him that we're just at a different social class than Fred, so there were no hot dogs to be eaten.
Right.
Because it was a catered affair, and caterers don't bring hot dogs.
When in is a hot dog?
Especially at a palatial estate like Fred's. You know, you can't just, you know, you got to step it up a little bit.
He enjoyed the koi pond.
Oh, the fish in the pond?
He did.
Now,
your
other son.
He's got a fish pond?
Yes.
Right. Yeah. He has real fish outdoors.
Real fish. Big
That's
orange
true.
Fish.
Will was also chasing Lori around ridiculous. A little bit because Will has a little bit of a crush on Lori.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
Just like
good looking guy.
Listeners.
He is. Looks just like me. Only he has hair.
Now he
a lot more.
Lucky.
I spied him trying to push your other little son there into the pool at one point. Was there any issues there?
Only once? He tried to push Lori in.
Well, but he was trying to get her t-shirt wet. That's why.
Yeah, he's no dummy.
He knows what he's doing.
Come on.
Anyway, Paulie, you a little upset about the show going downhill without Fred being here?
Yeah.
Well, Reed writes in, last Thursday's episode was one of the greatest episodes. Bilo told me to go F myself. Eric sang surprisingly well. Tom rapped like a 12-year-old white rich kid. Caligirl wants people to pay for her boob job, which I am all for, but I think if you pay for it, you should get a picture of what you're purchasing. I learned Craig was more than a name. It ended up being a verb now. There's a to Craig. And Eric threatened to quit. That was an empty promise, kind of.
Kind of, yeah.
Who says the show won't survive if Fred gets canned? Great job, boys. Oh, I'm sending this email in before the Eric and Paul show, so let's see if I end up eating my words.
How do you think it's going, Eric?
I think he's probably eating his words.
It is what it is.
Yeah, it is, you know.
Paul's eating.
And not his words.
It's what I do.
But
thanks for buying lunch, Paul. That was very nice of you.
Yes, Paul, good job today. Today's lunch brought to you by Paul Perillo. We're going to read your email today in a little while, too. Oh, that's right, you didn't email anything in. But if you have any comments you'd like to make now, do so. About
I'll
buying us lunch today.
Peace.
I'm going to think about that maybe in the second hour.
Okay.
I'll hit you with my thoughts.
You hit me back, homie?
Oh,
all right.
God's sakes.
I like your gangster impression.
He's like the whitest guy ever and he tries to come at me with that.
Ever.
Strippers write in, wants to know who won the wet t-shirt contest at Fred's party. Well, would have been Lori if little Will had pushed her into the pool, but
yeah.
He didn't succeed. So
I'm going to go with Andy.
Yeah, Andy won it.
Oh.
With that Mendenhall shirt on.
That's true. Andy, fans should know, Andy did wear the Mendenhall jersey, sporting it proudly around Fred's party. And
that's it.
That was it.
How about how Fred struck out?
Oh, Fred almost fell down striking out playing wiffle ball. Did you see that? Did you happen to see that? Were you involved in that?
That's hilarious.
Fred takes this monster swing.
Why do you ask me questions while I'm in the middle of eating?
Oh.
You're very temperamental today, Paul.
Yeah, what's the matter,
Paul? Don't you worry about it.
I thought you were on cloud nine.
That's Maura. She's getting married. I've been married 5 years.
Did you get any throwdowns with women at Babies R Us? What happened?
No. I haven't been back to Babies.
You haven't been back.
I haven't been back
to
Babies R Us in a while.
You heard about that story, Lori?
No, but it just
some woman gave me a bad look, and
a bad look.
As Tom's going to do to Eric when he gets back, I wiped that bad look right off her face.
Tom's not going
to
do it.
How did you do that?
No, she. It was a long.
You just gave her a bad look back.
It was a long story.
See, I got you're an argument today.
I got in an argument with her. That's true. He's not making that up.
I'm not saying
I got an argument with a lady at Babies R Us.
Almost got physical.
I didn't almost get physical, and it wasn't a high point in my life.
It almost got physical. You know?
Did you have the kids with you?
No.
Okay. Well,
but I was getting diapers.
That's nice.
And she told me, oh, you're irritable. I see you're buying diapers. That explains it. And I told her to go do the anatomically impossible.
Go yourself.
Thank you.
So Fred struck out?
Oh, he...
Gary.
He took the most wild swing, ended up, like, pretzeling himself.
Now, how much was he sweating by the time the wiffle ball game had, like, got it underway?
He wasn't sweating
that bad.
No one can sweat like Fred.
No, but his hair was even more absurd than
and no
usual.
One takes those games more seriously than Fred, either.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
He's like me when I was in the fifth grade in gym class, you know, like, we got to win, you know?
I don't even care.
He's a grown adult.
Soft or hard or whatever.
And
whoa. What was that?
Yeah, we're all getting fired.
What was all over his shirt, by the way? Did you say, like, we got there and he had this white t-shirt on, but there were like 800 red little spots all
800?
Over his shirt. Like,
it's like Sputnik.
Yeah.
Maybe he had a popsicle.
He spilled it all over his shirt, though. He was a mess by the time we left.
Oh, I feel lightheaded.
He's not, where, did he actually go anywhere this week?
I don't think so, on account of he was here yesterday.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, we had.
He didn't trust us to put the last few pages of the issue to bed. He came in to read them all.
But as Andy pointed out, you, Paul, trusted me and Andy to edit. Andy and I to edit for you while you were away, as Andy pointed out about 85 times. Oh, great week for Paul to take an issue week off.
I did. I also trusted that he would write a story or two, and evidently I was wrong to entrust him with that.
That was just you and me.
And I also should point out that, you know, we mentioned that he had the Mendenhall shirt on
at the
barbecue,
mm-hmm.
but he did have to cut a little extra room in the head
the neck area to
make sure the neck was big enough to get over that fat squash of his.
That's true.
That melon.
That's true.
It's really cute how you jump in on that Andy bashing too.
Lori?
Yeah, I think it's cute. Aw,
isn't it cute?
I think it's cute. Don't you think it's cute, Eric?
It is. I mean, she's trying to hide it and all.
Yeah, you know, sometimes the subtle little giggles.
Right. How, you know, it was a little uncomfortable, too, when Deirdre, Andy's wife, was around and Lori was there. And if you notice,
there was tension.
You get along very well.
There was tension.
Well, you got along very well because you were on one side of the pool. And she was on the very other side, pretty much the whole time.
You were so painting the wrong picture.
And then there was that time when they were both making fun of Andy at the same time about his attire in the office.
Right.
And I thought that was
recorded.
That was extremely fun.
You have that? You have that bit ready to go?
I have it, but we're not going to play it because no one knew it was being recorded.
Oh, okay.
And
that's illegal.
And there may be, like, you know, some F-bombs being dropped.
By whom?
I don't know. I was there. There's a good chance
it was
me.
Yeah, I was at the game.
Yeah. Yeah, but you came up with the best line of the night, though, when you were there. You were talking about Andy and how he has the unorthodox size of clothing because he's short, but he has a ridiculously disproportionate waist and shirt
how
sizes.
How long are we going here?
And you said that that there should be a big and tall store.
For petites.
For petites.
Well,
big and tall
petite
sizes.
The big and tall petites.
Right.
You could...
And you were shocked when there wasn't one.
Short.
What?
Wouldn't that be small and short?
Small and short is the same thing, Gary.
Yeah, big and tall, small and short.
No,
big and tall are kind of that.
Yeah, but no.
For petites.
Big and tall.
she's making arm gestures that the people out in Radio Land cannot see.
Petite means tiny around.
And you wonder why she thinks that Paula Abdul is okay.
Was that a...
Yes, it was a shot. Yes. Yes, that was.
We're fighting later.
Am I dead after school?
I'll meet you at the bike racks.
The bike racks? Is that where you guys used to throw it down?
Yeah, you know. You know how I roll.
What? With a Glock? What am I? Am I in danger?
All right, Mario from San Benito writes in, guys, how's it going? I have to say, last Thursday's show was among the funniest in PFW history, and I commend you guys for it, even though Paul and Fred weren't there. I really do feel that Eric's coming around to fans, and I think he just had his breakout show. Just keep doing what you're doing, Eric, and you'll be the next Casale in no time. Well, I don't want to do what I'm doing then because I don't want to go down that road. Or maybe not, since no one can replace Tom. Yeah, well, so far. Anyway.
The underlying just hatred from Eric to Tom is really glaring. It's smacking me in the face.
Paul,
I missed 1 week. I've lost control of the show.
You realize I have to. I'm a desperate man. I have to do everything I can not to get demoted
you
to
do
that
realize
job.
But I will say, Eric.
Yeah, that's all right.
Eric, obviously.
I'm not afraid of him.
You spoke last week, and mm-hmm. the fans have listened, because I can't remember the last time you got, and I know you're reading the emails, and maybe you're skipping the anti ones, but I can't remember you getting this much positive publicity, and evidently last Thursday was the greatest show ever, and all I heard from Andy, of all people, mm-hmm. one of your biggest critics, was how great you were.
No, stop telling lies. You are an habitual liar. That was me getting into it with Casale little bit at one point.
Really? That sounded pretty serious. That sounded a little.
It was funny though because
that sounded a little Paul Tom-esque from a few months ago.
Right. There were no F-bombs or any other. No,
I had no F-bombs on my part.
You are an habitual liar.
I like how
he.
What has
did
to
he come back
the,
with?
The proper he English was, there. The grammar and habitual liar, like most people say.
He was a little stunned. I sucker punched him there verbally.
Nice.
So he was a little stunned. But the previous show that Tuesday.
Was he watching TV at the time?
No, he was actually hosting.
Oh.
And
I've never seen him host.
He used habitual. You would have used an F-bomb.
Yeah. You know. But the previous Tuesday,
I realized that when I was going to use the example, that's the word I would have used. I can't use it.
We got into it a little bit on Tuesday. And his wife actually called afterwards and asked him, you know, what, is Eric really mad at you? Does he really get that mad, or is that just an act for the show?
And in all seriousness, that's one of the things that I get the most enjoyment out of is after we have one of those arguments, you know, for the listeners, me and Fred, like twice a month.
Right.
Going back to my,
you guys scare me. I won't lie.
Going back to my desk and getting the emails from the people that, will email me. I'm
PFW
sure Tom gets them.
At its worst.
People emailing in saying, you know, was that serious? Are you and Fred okay? Are you and Tom okay? I'm like, it's just very funny. It's the radio. Hmm. It's generally forgotten within 3 minutes after the show.
Yeah, but
as we're walking upstairs,
the arguments are real.
Yeah, right.
When we argue, it's because we're disagreeing about something.
Especially when you turn all red, I get a little flustered.
Hey, sometimes I get red. I don't know what you want me to tell you.
I don't really know where you're going with that.
Sometimes you get excited, into an argument, you get red. What do you want me to do?
Mario from San Benito had a serious
question. I can't just
turn
off that passion, Laura. You know what I'm saying? I just can't do it.
He had a serious question for us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. He said, anyway, I wanted to ask you guys what you think about the future of the NFL and the sport of football. Do you think that
it's probably going to succeed.
You think?
I think this league, this league is going to be here for the long haul.
Let him make his point before you interrupt him, okay?
I was making fun of you, not the email.
I know you were. Do you think that one day football will overtake soccer as the world's most popular sport? And do you think the NFL will ever have franchises outside of North America?
I think the answer is no on both of those. Now, it's almost impossible to say for sure. I know that the NFL is...
They're trying their hardest.
Trying to globalize. You know, they had the thing most recently with China. They played preseason games in London. They played a regular season game in London last year.
They have another one this year.
Played in Mexico. They've played preseason games in Tokyo. Mm-hmm. The China thing, I guess, is back on the table. Well, they're trying to get it back on the table for next year. Hopefully we won't be involved in that, but I'm not sure how that's going to work. I can't imagine the logistics working with teams located outside of North America. I mean, you could have a team, you know, in Mexico City, you could have a team in Toronto, or, you know, whatever. But if you're going to put a team in London even, and that's pretty close, that's an awful lot.
That's a lot. Long road trip, especially.
I guess you'd have to put together an entire division of European teams and let them, you know.
But still, they have to play.
But at some point, they got to cross over, and that's hard.
Yeah. I mean,
it's probably short-sighted on my part because I'm not a businessman and I don't really understand. And speaking of the things that we argue with Fred about all the time, Fred's constantly criticizing us for not understanding the need to expand the horizons. As good as things are in the league now, they always have to be looking to make things better. We kind of disagree with him a little bit on that, and that's one of the sources of our arguments. But
now,
I don't see it.
You know, NFL Europe in its various iterations hasn't really succeeded.
Iterations. You see what I'm saying? This is the Eric that I left. All of a sudden, he comes back. He's got all these witty little quips about Tom. I never saw any of this. Iterations. That's the kind of nonsense that I left you with.
You bring
send it to
them.
Me, please, because the next time he goes, why do you guys think I'm pompous? I just want to hit play.
That was a great line.
It was a great line. One of his greatest. But no, I mean, but the league has tried to have sort of a farm system with the, you know, NFL Europe or even before that. There was another NFL Europe type league that they had that was, I think when the London Monarchs first came
on
board.
The World League.
NFL Europe, but that is now defunct.
Right. There are a lot of reasons, but I think the overriding factor as to why soccer is not as popular in the United States as it is most other places in the world is because soccer is not the best sport. It's not the sport that we play the best here. In America, we're not the best at it. You can make an argument in most other sports, you know, basketball, football for sure.
Well, yeah.
And baseball, that we play it as well, if not better, than everybody. In soccer, we're a distant, down the line, whatever you want to say. You know, I don't know enough about soccer to say exactly where the U.S. would be ranked, but I don't think it would be in the top
59.
Five. Probably not the top 10.
And an argument can be made maybe that we're no longer the best in baseball.
No,
but we were the first at it.
But I mean,
we weren't the first.
Could beat anybody in baseball. I mean, if you're going into a tournament tomorrow with the U.S. playing at its best against anybody, they could win. Mm-hmm. The same can't really be said of soccer. They're a clear cut behind the best teams in soccer. Whereas in all the European cities that have soccer, is the number one sport, they dominate. That's their sport of passion. That's what they're the best at. I think football will never be that in, you know, South America, in Europe, in all the places that soccer dominates. I just can't see Italy and France and London. I can't see them having American football overtake soccer because they're never going to be as good at it.
It's cultural, you know, too.
That's very simplistic, but I think that's the overriding factor.
No, I think you're right, though, in a way, because it's cultural. Like, we in this country, we grow up with baseball being an all-American sport. Basketball was invented here. Football was invented here. Those are our sports. You know, and you grow up playing those.
Word.
You have little leagues, and you know, soccer has taken hold in that. You know, it's huge in youth leagues now, and there's, you know, the MLS is at least getting profitable, if not, you know, making ridiculous amounts of money. But it's sustained itself for a lot longer than I thought people maybe expected it to. But you're right. In other countries, it's cultural. It's historic. That's what they grew up with. You know, they're getting. You know, they've taken to baseball, basketball. Obviously, a lot of NBA players are from overseas now. But, you know, football is a tougher game because there's a lot more specializing. There's a lot more, you know, it's more physically demanding than any of the other sports. And
yeah, I agree.
How are the Revs doing?
Beg your pardon?
How are the Revs doing? First place. See? We're coming up in the world.
Talk to me in the championship.
We will. Because they always make it to the championship.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty good.
And we always lose.
I was in Mexico and they were on TV. I never see them on TV here. I saw them on TV in Mexico.
That was really interesting. Not.
Look, you just listened to Eric give a rant about soccer.
508-384. What am I saying? Yeah. 508-543-7482. I just had a Fred Kirsch moment there with the phone.
You were giving out your number. Hello.
At least it wasn't going to be his home number.
508-543-7482 is the studio phone number, not mine. webradio@patriots.com is the email address. Dagmar in Miami is not a happy camper today because he says it's my
Dagmar.
Birthday and it's raining here in Miami.
Happy birthday.
Anyways,
what birthday is it?
Yeah,
if you don't mind us asking.
Yeah, right back.
Let's
in.
Take a guess.
We don't
happy
know.
Birthday.
Let's play the birthday game.
I'm going to say 24.
Happy birthday.
27.
I'll go with 37.
Okay.
Whoa.
How about the Sopranos?
34. 69.
I
go 29.
Well, Dagmar says he thinks Favre retired because he was frustrated after such high expectations during last season. Then if he does return, it's not because of the love of the game. He's coming back because he wants to win another Super Bowl. Not because just he wants to play the game because he loves the game. Dagmar thinks it's just because he wants to win another Super Bowl.
How many rings
I don't
does he
really
have?
Know if those two things are it's mutually
one.
Exclusive.
Is there a difference?
Yeah. And I also would say that Brett Favre loves playing the game. I mean, I think he can pretty much see it. I think the whole reason why he even has been on the fence and decided to retire this time is because he doesn't want to do all the other things. If it was just about if it was just about playing, I don't think he would have had a decision to make. He would have been back, no problem. Hey, all right,
let's go to the phones, Dagmar.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How you doing?
Good. Hey, thank you for reading my email.
Still raining over there?
29.
Oh, yay!
Happy birthday.
Tony
Soprano.
Tony, good
29,
job.
29, looking good.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, Kelly
Happy
girl.
Happy birthday, Steve.
No, that's not Kelly
29,
girl, that's
looking
Lori.
Good.
That's Lori, that's not Kelly girl.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Hey, no, actually, I just wanted to make that comment about Favre retiring and just to make a short stop here at the show.
All right, man.
Good stuff.
Okay.
29, happy 29. You got anything special planned?
Actually, when I leave,
turn your radio
today,
down,
I don't
caller.
Know what I'm going to do, but let's see.
All right. Well, you enjoy
29,
your 29th birthday.
Good.
Enjoy your birthday cake.
Thanks for calling in.
Okay. Thank you, guys.
I love birthday cake.
How's that? That's just an immediate response to our question.
Yeah.
So much for that latency of the internet.
I was just going to say, you beat me to it, Paul.
I'm sure you would have said it a lot more pompously.
I could hear him call Lori Kelly girl about 5 seconds later.
Yeah, when you that little note to our listeners, if you're going to call in, you got to tone down what you're listening to, because we can hear that through the internet. Is that being too pompous, Paul? Is that what you're giving me that look?
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit.
He's definitely toned it down, though.
Oh yeah, Eric.
Hardcore.
Who knew we had a personality?
I've always had it.
I just didn't share it with you guys because I wasn't sure. But I was on the fence about you guys.
He's not pompous, though. I always had one. I just didn't share it with you guys.
I didn't know if you guys were worthy of me sharing it with you. Lori's had exposure to it for a long time because we worked together.
Really now?
Eric's exposed himself to me.
I thought we made fun of Andy for this. It's you all along?
It started with me, but, you know, Andy.
Jeez.
Andy's since taken
just
over.
Can't keep up with all these things going on. Tony hasn't even said one word over here.
I got the 29 right. That's all I needed to do today. So.
Andy got the food delivered quickly and efficiently.
Nice.
Lori, you've been campaigning for me to
enter the priesthood.
Actually, I did.
Actually, she does do that on
Doesn't
occasion.
Doesn't he look like a priest?
No, I don't.
You could.
I could
you Father Scalvino.
Definitely. Yeah,
turn your mic off. You've been campaigning for me to experiment with this online.
Yes,
scenario.
Online dating.
Have you not? Well,
yes.
Well, one of,
I
one
said
of,
I would set up your profile.
I know. Well,
Tom's
one of
been after you to do that for months.
One of our listeners has set up one for me. Not actually set one up, but has written in a profile and wants to run it by us to make sure everything's accurate.
Let's hear it.
So you ready? Okay. So this is Todd from Nova Scotia.
Oh, he's good. Good stuff.
He does. He takes time.
Todd brings it.
He
and
does
he,
bring it.
I would listen to Todd.
He's okay. So he sets it up with people at pfwinprogress.com. Bought the Mooch and the Cooch's jersey, so now it's time for the groundswell of Eric's lovers to step up and do something really worthwhile with their money and buy Eric a woman. Not really buy him a woman as in a prostitute, he says.
Oh, I thought it was one of those inflatable dolls.
But that wouldn't be a bad idea, he continues.
They're only $20.
Either, but get him a membership to one of those online dating sites that Lori is so
I know on. From experience, dude.
So here's what he's got. Eric Thomas Scalavino, that's correct. 35, correct.
E.T.?
E.T., yeah. I got plenty of those. Don't worry. Straight, he writes in big capital letters.
Yeah. Another yes. one's not going to
yeah.
hurt you, all right?
Approved.
Italian-American, Rhode Island-born. Those are both. Yep.
Approved.
Deeply religious Catholic. Yeah, that's good. Accomplished artist, avid reader.
Accomplished artist?
I've had 3 shows this year, Paul. That's I'm starting to get accomplished.
That's a bit of a stretch.
I'm starting to get there.
You won't
I'm
be accomplished until you're dead anyway.
Thanks for that uplifting
message,
Lori.
Well, all artists
Lori.
Don't become famous until they die.
That's not exactly true. That's not exactly Dead. True. Andy Warhol got rich while he was still alive. So.
Where's Picasso now?
Dead.
Yeah.
Dead.
I want him dead.
Monet.
I want his
dead.
Family dead. Loves music and singing. Plays 3 instruments, saxophone,
Wait,
drums, and clarinet.
You play the clarinet?
I missed the whole Eric Scalavino story last week. Evidently,
and I heard you want to play the guitar, too. Kyle
I do.
Said he's going to teach you.
He's a soft
yes,
sensitive
I
type.
I do.
Soft sensitive
I'm thinking about picking up the guitar.
Yeah, and the guitar, you know.
Enjoys board games such as he wrote Scramble. There is a game called Scramble, but it's Scrabble. So I don't know if he misspelled or
is that
if he
your
made,
favorite
actually
board
made a
game?
Mistake. Scrabble?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
How are those games going lately, by the way?
Pretty well.
Oh, maybe that's why he's in high spirits.
Evidently.
Don't worry about it, Paul.
Don't worry about it.
I had to give you one of those.
Don't you worry about it. Attended
private school, graduated college from BU, member of the football team. Those are all accurate.
another
of the football team.
Another bit of a stretch on that last one.
I was a member of the football team. That is accurate.
Okay.
For 3 years, Paul.
Ask him how you kick.
Fluent in
Rudy.
Fluent in 3 languages. Well, Japanese, I'm not fluent in it anymore, but it was Italian and French.
You can speak fluent French?
You are fluent in Italian?
Yes.
Speak.
And
no.
French.
Don't ever fall into the trap.
Why?
Because then
what
he
trap?
Will start.
But I want to hear him speak French.
I'll speak some French to you later, mon chéri. Don't you worry.
See?
Just returned from a lengthy trip to Egypt. Neat appearance, great shape. Yep. Works out 3 or 4 times a week. Well, it's actually about 4 or 5. But healthy eater, slim, not smoking.
Wait.
So how long are we going here?
I'm reading his email. What can I? Todd brought it. Turnoffs, he's got a little bit wrong. He's got seafood.
You
turnoffs.
You
turnoffs.
You said
women.
Hey, guy.
Oh.
That's not right. Oh, that's not.
Andy's
oh.
not here.
Turnoffs. Seafood, yes. Clowns, oh, yeah.
You're afraid of clowns?
I can't stand them. They frighten
maybe,
the hell out of me.
Maybe,
are you
going to
go watch the new Batman thing?
I will go watch the new Batman.
Even though Joker kind of looks like a clown?
Well, yeah.
Is
yeah.
he there to amuse you, too?
Yes.
Okay.
Swimming in the ocean, he writes, is a turnoff. No, that's incorrect, Todd. I actually love
Eric's
swimming
a surfer.
In the ocean.
Yeah, yeah, yeah he actually the thinks the ocean's cleaner than pools.
I love it. The liberal media. All right, he's got that part right. Although I do read it because I have to get both sides of the story. So there's there he goes, and he says, I've talked it over with Kamani, my big fan from Chicago, and Casali.
Fan.
And Casali. So he's in cahoots with Casale on this. And we all agreed this is what's best for you. So now all we have to do...
I told you that. Tom has been after you to do this for months.
...is agree, and your fans will get it done for you. The best part of this whole email is his postscript. Todd from Nova Scotia writes, P.S. I'm not sending one penny. I hate Eric.
Wow.
So after all that effort, he has to end
it. Wow.
That was a lot.
That's a lot of... That's harsh.
But I've come to expect that from Todd. That's, you know,
but he didn't put, like, I don't know.
What?
Quips and quirps about you. I don't know.
Quirps?
Yeah. What, quirks.
Name a quirp that I have. Oh, someone's at the door.
Who is it? Hi, it's Lori Baranski. Now it's time for Andy Hart's Urban Dictionary Word of the Day. That's Word of the Day. I'm not saying anything about my... Hey, guys. You all suck.
Wow, you censored yourself there, Lori. Good job.
That was pretty quick how you caught that.
It still amazes me that she falls for that line, though, every time she does the
It is
the
true, but
the
fact that Andy is not here means that I get stuck doing his Urban Dictionary Word of the Day, and today's word is actually two words right up your alley here, Eric. Pompous marshmallow. That's pompous marshmallow.
All right.
Told you I could keep it clean, Paul.
Not so much with the second one,
after.
Huh?
I'll take a look after.
That one was for Lori.
What, you can't say what it means? Is that how this
works? The listeners are charged with going to the site and finding it out for themselves.
Paul's hogging the paper. I can't read it.
That's a pretty lengthy definition, apparently.
Well, there's a second one there that I was not reading for the air.
Oh, okay.
Pompous marshmallow.
Marshmallow? All right. I'll take a look at it after.
Well, there's nothing funny about that.
What?
It's the other one that's funny.
Okay. That's all right.
All right.
Sawyer from...
So are you going to do this?
Online dating.
I've actually done it before. And that's
yeah,
why
that
I've been...
that didn't count.
What do you mean it didn't count?
You didn't do it right.
How do you know we didn't do it right?
It didn't work.
So how do you know we didn't do it right? Yeah. Maybe there's just no match for him out there.
Thank you, Paul.
Astute
that's observation.
Nice.
No, I'm
that
serious.
Was supposed to be a
nice.
Shot at you.
That's okay. It's, I
there
didn't
is
this.
Someone for everyone out there.
Really?
Yes. That's how this works.
Now,
life.
Says the goddess, Lori Baranski. Over here. Mm-hmm.
Okay. I will.
What was that?
How's your situation going, by the way? Are we free to talk about that or no?
No.
No?
We're going to get you.
She just gave me a look that I think meant I'm going to kill
you.
After
I didn't
the show.
Even see the look, I felt it. I was looking at you, but I felt the look from
I
this
asked
side.
First. I didn't just...
Yeah, but...
But you... Yeah.
Anyways, we're going to get you a nice profile.
Yeah, we got
take
Young,
a nice
young
picture.
Turk in Youngstown is ready to swoop in.
Hey, why not?
I don't know. The font is real small.
Yeah, he's small font. You know what they say about guys with small font, Lori. Yeah,
they need glasses.
Right. Exactly.
Kind of like guys with big feet.
Big shoes.
Big socks.
You should know I got a little wiener.
What? Who actually said that?
Andy.
Oh.
You know.
What?
Well,
No.
All right, so it makes sense
I
now.
Didn't want to make a comment.
Right.
So, I guess you already knew, of course.
Yeah, well, that goes without saying.
No, because I know you guys would do this.
That goes without saying.
Oh, God.
Sawyer from Waterloo, Iowa has an interesting
Sawyer.
Hypothetical that he wants to run by us, Paul.
Okay.
He says... The debate was brought up. We were talking last week again about the Brady versus Manning, who's better nonsense. The debate was brought up again about who Belichick would rather have, Brady or Manning. But for fun, where would the two teams be if the Patriots had drafted Manning in 98 when Carroll was here? Would Peyton have been good enough to keep Pete employed by the Pats, thus never hiring Bill? How would the Colts be if they in turn would have drafted Brady? Personally, I think the Super Bowl titles would be the same for the quarterbacks, Manning with one, but a much more mediocre team over the years, and Brady would have the same, if not a better, career. That's Sawyer from Waterloo.
It's a great question.
We should have knocked his lights out.
It's a great question. It's impossible to answer. I really don't have an answer for you.
Peyton Manning with
it seems,
Carroll, though.
The only thing that I would seem to disagree with Sawyer on here is that it seems to me that he's trying to say that Peyton Manning isn't that good, that he is a product of the great
system.
Team, when all I ever heard, all – you know, throughout the early part of this decade was that the Colts weren't as good as the Patriots. Patriots had the better team, remember?
Yep.
It's a team
yep.
game. It's yep. not about individual stats. It's a team game. And the Patriots had the better team. A rationale, by the way, that I wholeheartedly agree with. The Patriots were a better team in 03 and 04 when they pounded the Colts
yes.
in the playoffs.
Oh,
they
yeah.
were a better team.
Yeah.
There's nothing fluky about those
no.
wins. They were a flat-out better team.
helped that they were at home, too.
I think if you switch the quarterbacks, the same team wins. Seems like Sawyer says that Brady would have swung the pendulum in the Colts' favor.
Right.
That's the only thing I would disagree with.
Yeah. It is a great question, though, but we were talking last week about how you're just splitting hairs when you're talking about which one of those two is better.
Two of the greatest quarterbacks. They're going to end up being two of the best five quarterbacks ever to play when they're both done.
Absolutely. And either one of them could probably still win another couple of Super Bowls.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I think that you'd have to consider the Patriots a favorite right now.
That'll be the interesting debate, though. If they end their careers with an equal number of Super Bowl titles, the debate over which one is better is going to be even more ratcheted up, don't you think?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's one of those great barroom debates. And I just think that in New England, sometimes I think we're guilty of overlooking how good he is, Manning. I think we all know how great Brady is, but I don't think that I think that people just look at it and see all those receivers and they say anybody could do that. And I don't think anybody could have done what Brady did last year with Moss and Welker and Stallworth and all the rest of the weapons that he had. I don't think anybody could have done that. I think that it took a special guy to go out and throw 50 touchdown passes and win the league MVP.
Although Manning did have 49.
Manning could have done it.
Yeah.
But I don't think just anybody could have. I think that people looked at Manning, what he did in 04, and they said anybody could do that. Because he had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne and Edgerrin James and Dallas Clark and all the other weapons at his disposal. Yeah, but it still takes a great player to utilize all of that.
Do you think Favre
Manning
could have done it?
Favre
had great numbers. Now, I don't think Favre is anywhere near as good as Brady or Manning in terms of the whole package, decision-making, protecting the football, avoiding turnovers and things like that. I think that Manning and Brady are well above. But in terms of physical, physical,
which I think
Favre has it over both of them.
Absolutely,
guys,
and I think
mind.
That's what Favre has relied on most during his career, whereas Peyton and Brady have relied on studying
both
their opponents. Yeah, they have the physical stuff, obviously, not nearly as much as Favre, but they rely more on their brains and studying the opponent and trying to break down
film. But if you go back to like 94, 95, 96, 97, and you look at some of those years and watch some of those highlights of Brett Favre, you see throws that Manning and Brady aren't capable of making. Period.
We mentioned at the top of the show we're only 9 days away from the start of training camp. It's going to be a lot of battles for positions.
Speaking of slackers.
Kyle just walked in the room. He lost his mustache, too, by the way. He was sporting the
Giambi-like
mustache, but it's gone now.
Did you come down to get the leftovers? Is that what you came down for? Did you come down for food?
He did.
This food?
There's no denying it.
There's more food, so eat.
Mary doesn't say where she's from, but Mary writes in, wants to know, with training camp coming up, how many Patriots rookies will actually have a chance of being a starter by the beginning of the season, and if any, who would have the biggest impact? I think it's quite possible
I think Mayo has a chance to be a starter. I think
maybe Wheatley.
Maybe Wheatley will have a chance to be a starter. Probably those are the only two that have a legitimate chance
at the beginning of the season.
At the start of the season. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now injuries and performance can change, from there on in. But heading into training camp, I would expect those two guys to have a chance to win starting roles, and I would think that Mayo probably well. I think either one of those guys could have a bigger impact, If Wheatley has a strong camp, at the very least, I think he could be a guy involved in sub-packages all year, right from the start. And that's a big role. You can make a big impact in a role like that.
And with Mayo, drafting him in not only in the top 10, but the last couple of years, middle linebackers have won Defensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
Being taken that high, D'Amico Ryans, Patrick Willis. There's going to be some expectation for him to produce at that position quickly. If not from the team itself, then from fans who've seen this progression over the years. Patrick Willis was a guy we talked about last year during the draft that we thought the Patriots had their eyes on, and if they had, they might have had the Defensive Rookie of the Year last year.
I think it's a little different in the way that the Patriots defense plays, but we'll see how it all turns out. I think Mayo is going to be a fine football player, and I think that you're going to see him Not in the same capacity, but in the same way that I talked about Wheatley. I think at least from the start, he's going to be involved in sub defenses and chasing running backs around and doing some things with his speed and athleticism that maybe Bruschi and some of the other guys can't really do at this stage of their careers, that effectively.
Mm-hmm. Now, Paul, we started this show. It was just me and you and Gary behind the booth. Mini Gary.
You and I, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
Good job, Gary.
Just the two of us.
Good job.
Gary was behind the glass. Mini Gary showed up. The Soprano intern showed up. Now Lori showed up. Kyle's here. This is full studio. I think there are people who are subconsciously clamoring to try to get Tom Casale's job.
Could be.
Maybe Kyle would be a good Tom Casale refill.
No, he doesn't have a mic. And
did you just say you don't know if you're a big enough jerk?
Wow.
That's a good shot. You should have said that with the mic on.
That's a good shot, right?
But there are some people who are legitimate candidates to fill in. We heard a campaign ad from one of them earlier in the show, and we have three others that we're going to get to. We're going to go to the
next one.
Equal
time
for all the candidates. That's where fair and balanced, just like my favorite news channel. We're going to hit that next one right now, Gary.
Casale's leaving. Somebody has to pick up the slack, and Mike Parenti is the candidate to pick up the slack, I guess. You hate the Cowboys, and Casale loves them. Guess what? Parenti's a Yankee fan. Enough said. He's filled in for John Rook on that show that's on after this one. He dresses nice on game day and introduced Andy Hart to the Urban Dictionary. If you think those aren't the right qualifications for the next co-host of PFW in Progress, well, you're probably right. But he's on the list, and we had to make a promo to direct you to PFWinProgress.com to vote for the next co-host when Tom heads to Thailand.
It's actually pronounced Phuket.
I'm Michael Parenti, and I approve this message.
Oh, yeah. Don't forget to buy us lunch.
Nice.
So there you go. That's
And there you have it.
I didn't know he was a Yankee fan.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Big.
Whew.
What, you going to take issue with him next time you see him?
Maybe. Maybe throw down. I don't know. I don't know if I'll have enough time.
Well, why? What are you busy with?
If you're going to go to Bed Bath & Beyond first?
Well, there's, contrary.
Are you going to eat or not? Because you're really making me uncomfortable.
We got a big day tomorrow. We're going to go to Home Depot. Maybe Bed Bath & Beyond. I don't know. I don't know if we'll have enough time.
Feels so good. Tastes so good. Hit your lips.
Once it touched your lips.
Once it hits your lips. It's so good.
Well, Paul, I know,
Well, Eric,
despite what Tom
in life,
despite what Tom has to say about himself, not everybody's happy with him, as evidenced by
really,
yeah, and not just me either.
Is this you speaking?
As evidenced by,
there's been a lot of underlying hostility between you and Tom.
I don't think it's underlying.
Well, obviously it's not.
I know his wife's listening too. I want her to get a little upset too.
Poor Allison.
That's,
I don't know why.
Nice.
She called in all upset the last time, so we need to, you know.
Well, it's clear that
she's nice.
It's clear that you have some problems. You have some issues.
Issues.
Unresolved issues that I think really
major.
You should try to resolve before Tom leaves.
Major deep
Although
issues.
He may have already left. I don't know.
It's true.
He's coming back.
I have to do what I have to do what I can, Paul, to cement my position here with him.
His last day's not until what? July something. Like end of July.
I guess. I don't know.
Anyways.
But anyway, Henry in Whitefish, Montana says,
I don't know about you, Henry.
Henry.
Whitefish, Montana?
That's what it says, Lori. And this was from the other day. He was mad. He says, Tom, you stink. I'm so glad you're leaving. I would absolutely rather listen to the analysis of Eric than of you any day of the week.
Well, now I know why you're reading this.
What?
It's another pro-Eric email.
Well, there aren't that many of them, Paul.
That's true.
That
explains why you're reading it.
He says, you clearly know a lot about football, but you are obviously the kind of person that cannot feel good about himself without putting others down. He says to Tom, I'm sick of listening to it. Your act has gotten so old.
In case
old.
You're confused as to who he's making fun of, he says to Tom.
I'm not someone who enjoys putting others down, but what the hell? I've listened to you talk about how many players stink when you are the one who could not carry their jock straps. What have you ever done? What? You're great because you can do some push-ups? I've listened to you put players down, put other broadcasters down, put interns down, put the countless callers and email contributors down. I wrote in last year and you said I stink. Well, fine. Keep it up. Keep putting the world down so you can make out with yourself in the mirror. You're pathetic. Henry in Whitefish, Montana.
Oh, way to go, Henry.
Wow.
That's a good, solid
No
slam.
Underlying hostility there. That's
no.
Right up above.
No, there's nothing underlying
there.
About that one.
My goodness.
Are you going to eat or not?
He's eating.
All right.
If you didn't notice, Paul's a little temperamental today.
Don't you worry about it.
The show's bad enough. Get him out of there.
Wow. The show's bad enough, says Gary. Get him out of here.
My goodness. All right. 508-543-7482 is the phone number.
They know the phone
number. Webradio at patriots.com is the email address. Luis writes in, has some serious, Luis from Tampa, has some serious questions.
Supernova?
Says, hello, guys. I'll tell you something. Those Tuesday shows without Andy are joyful to hear. That guy doesn't shut up, does he?
Back-to-back slams for the people not here.
Nothing about Fred, though.
That's because Fred's indispensable. Everybody loves Fred. And I, believe me, I'm the president of that fan club.
Oh, I know.
This show needs Fred Kirsch.
Pro Fred.
I know.
Can we do a public service announcement for Fred? I'll do it.
A double Fred in place of Kasali?
You want to make $5 the hard way?
Oh, he says, so whenever someone makes a list of all-time coaches, they throw the usual names, Lombardi, Landry, Noel, Gibbs, Walsh, even our own Belichick. Here's my questions are, where does Bill Parcells rank among the all-timers? That's one.
Two, right in with that group.
Why people tend to forget Paul Brown?
They shouldn't. They shouldn't. Paul Brown is, and you asked Bill Belichick what he thinks, and Paul Brown is very, very high, very high on that list.
And three, what's the deal with Tom Flores, who won two Super Bowls? Is he way underrated, or was that Raiders team a product of Al Davis?
That's a great question, and it's funny that you mentioned it, because right now there's a
Seahawks
1987 game between the Raiders and Seahawks in which Tom Flores is coaching for the Raiders. It's the famous
Bo Jackson, Brian Bosworth
game.
On the goal line?
And
is that Mark Wilson throwing bullets?
That's Mark Wilson throwing incomplete passes in the end zone. Quinn Gray-like. But maybe Flores, and I don't know enough about Tom Flores to really give an accurate assessment. I don't know. Maybe he is underrated. Two Super Bowls
Well, but you can look at
His team. It's not like he inherited a team and then won a – you know, like George Seifert.
Right.
Inherited a team and won two Super Bowls too.
Barry Switzer inherited a team.
Yeah, but I mean, Seifert won two. But to me, it was not really his doing. Not that he was a terrible coach, but I don't think he was that good. Flores, you know, they weren't very good. And, you know, he not that they weren't very good because they were always good in the 70s. But when he took over – you know, he won with different players than John Madden had won with before him. So maybe he is a little bit underrated. What do you think?
Flores?
Yeah.
I didn't really know much about him. I remember, I think one of the first Super Bowls I watched was the Raiders-Redskins.
Oh, yeah. 83.
And I remember Tom Flores afterwards in the post game.
That was his second title.
And that was the first one I remember seeing of him. And then after that, he sort of faded off, and I didn't really know much about him.
Sopranos, what was the first Super Bowl you guys remember seeing? Like Bills Giants in 1990?
Had to be somewhere in the 90s, right?
Yeah, the Bills.
So you grew up with all the Cowboy, big Cowboy teams.
Yeah, the Cowboys in the 90s. Those are the big
That's like the first one, like, you know. What do you guys, like 20?
Not the first ones, but the ones that I really remember watching and getting into.
Wow.
What was your first one, Paul?
Probably one of the Steelers Cowboys in the 70s, like 75 maybe.
When was the...
Damn, me too.
That's right, hot shot.
I can't remember which one.
You're not that. You're much younger than me.
The Miami-Washington one.
Kyle will let you know the first Super Bowl he sees.
Aww.
Poor Kyle.
What's the matter, Giambi? You all right? Are you going to call me being hostile again?
You are being a little...
Why?
I don't know.
I'm nice to you.
Is everything okay?
I'm nice to you.
Here, go chip there.
No, I'm red.
You're just taking pot shots at me now. Because you know I didn't get to go to the Super Bowl this year.
That wasn't a pot shot for that. But had I thought of that, it would have been a pot shot for that.
Well, I'm giving you credit for it anyway. The first
I just meant that you don't really care about any football. And you're much more intellectual.
Cerebral?
I did. When
you
I,
like to cleanse the palate, the lemon
sorbet. I would go snowboarding on Super Bowl Sunday sometimes.
What was that?
When I was a snowboard instructor, I would go on Super Bowl Sundays sometimes because that's the emptiest weekend day of the year.
Snowboard instructor. Doesn't that say it all?
Well, he's from South Park, Colorado.
Dude, has the half pipe.
I don't know.
I think you know. I think you know.
Very funny, you guys.
It's 129. It's time for that famous Fred Kirsch 129 break. We'll be right back after this.
Taylor on the turn, takes a touch, and buries it. 1-0 Rams. The sellout crowd in Foxborough rises to their feet. The Rams have the lead. Taylor Twellman just made 30,000 plus here at Gillette Stadium. Very happy.
2008 New England Revolution gear is here at the Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place. Located right next to Gillette Stadium, the Revolution Pro Shop has all of the official Revolution merchandise you'll ever need. Get the new 2008 home and away jerseys with name and number of your favorite player, or have one customized with your own name and number. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, tees, and much more, with a huge selection of Revolution items for men, women, kids, and infants. The Revolution Pro Shop has something for everyone. The Revolution Pro Shop at Patriot Place is open 7 days a week and always available online at www.revolutionsoccer.net. Get the gear your favorite player wears on the field at the Revolution Pro Shop. For pride, honor, and victory. The best clubs in Mexico take on the best of Major League Soccer. The summer's greatest soccer tournament is back. Superliga 2008. The rivalry continues. New England Revolution versus Santos, Sunday, July 13th at 8 p.m. New England Revolution versus Pachuca, Wednesday, July 16th at 8 p.m. at Gillette Stadium. For tickets, call 617-931-2222 or visit Ticketmaster.com. Don't miss Taylor Twellman, Chalry Joseph, and the New England Revolution. Take on the best clubs of Mexico in Gillette Stadium. For tickets, call 1-877-GET-REVS or visit revolutionsoccer.net. 1-877-GET-REVS or visit revolutionsoccer.net. When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, First Down Franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, First Down Franks, and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
Education, experience, a winning attitude. That's how you replace Tom Casale. And Christina Acra brings that and more as the next co-host of PFW in Progress. She's a graduate of the University of Florida with a degree in broadcasting. She's taken her reps interviewing players. And after coming aboard in 2007, the team didn't lose a game all year. Except for that one game in February. Whatever. You want these attributes in your new candidate. You need these attributes in your new candidate. Screw it. It's Christina Acra. Hello? Log on to PFWInProgress.com to vote for the new co-host of PFW in Progress. Sure, the vote won't actually mean anything, but you can always find out how to buy lunch for the boys and maybe the girl.
I'm Christina Acra, and I approve this message.
Oh, yeah, so do I.
Oh, she has my vote.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm in.
Absolutely.
I approve. Count me in.
Jackpot.
You betcha.
So what do you think? Are you convinced yet, Paul? You made up your mind? Any of these candidates the way you
I already told you before I even heard the slogans that Christina was my pick.
All right, that just cemented it for you? I can't believe you're playing this music.
I like this song.
Who was that from?
That was Christina on her...
Oh, yeah. I should have known you knew her a little.
What is that supposed to mean?
I think you know. I think you know what it means.
Oh, God. Alex doesn't say where he's from, writes in, and wants to know from you and me, Paul. He wants a real answer. He says, will any of you miss Tom?
Miss Tom.
Oh, I will. Tom's a funny guy. I will definitely miss Tom.
Of course he's a funny guy.
I can't believe you're actually playing this music.
I will miss Tom because I think he brought a lot of humor to this show and to our daily lives.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And he could definitely.
Probably more so off the air.
Yeah.
I know it's going to sound shocking to those of you that listen to us all the time, but we are a little censored.
Yeah.
Tom has absolutely no filter when you're outside of the microphones.
Especially not upstairs
in
the office. But
so, yeah.
We kid around all the time, and we take it to another level on the show, obviously, for the sake of the show. But
except for Andy. I really do hate Andy.
Actually, yeah, I really do hate Andy, too.
Yeah.
But in Tom's case, it's just more of a play thing.
That's terrible.
Why? You'd be called fat, bald, and old your whole life, and you tell me how much you like it.
How could you be old your whole life?
The whole time I've been on the show, I've been 10 years older than Andy. I've always been old for him.
That's true.
Older.
He also has another serious question. He says, thinking of the 2008 Patriots.
And you look at the Soprano twins over there, and they're like, they shrug to themselves, and they say, well, you know, it is what it is. You're fat, bald, and old. You can see it going through their heads. Look at them.
You'll get there someday. Don't you worry about it.
I don't know about the bald part.
Maybe their dads are like your age. That's why.
Oh, see, now that's a shot, Laurie.
Why was that a shot?
All right, now, what's the what are we going to do? Wait, that's how you roll when you throw down? Is that what you kids do nowadays?
Meet at the bike racks.
Now you're really dead after school.
How did teams that were poised to have an all-time great season rebound the year after? I'm talking about the record-setting 83 Redskins that lost Super Bowl 18 and the record-setting Vikings that lost the 98 NFC Championship.
That's a good question. Neither one of them did a thing the next year.
Right, and that's the potential threat looming over.
Well, Minnesota fell, obviously, further from grace than Washington did. Washington under Joe Gibbs was always competitive.
Yeah.
But they didn't get back to the Super Bowl until 87, maybe? Yeah, I think it was the strike year in 87 when they beat Denver. Doug Williams.
Yes, Doug Williams. That's right.
Yeah. Any recollection for you guys over there? None? No.
They weren't even born.
Doug Williams?
They weren't even born.
Doug Williams?
You were born in the 90s?
In 1990.
Wow. So
you're
even
you're feeling old now, aren't you?
So even the Super Bowl that I gave them credit for being their first one, and I was kind of joking about, they were not even around for
it. Put it this way. The Patriots-Packers was the first one I stayed awake for the entire
Well, that was basically what my question was. Yeah. Patriots-Packers. I was there. I was drunk. I was getting accosted by Packers fans on the way out.
Afterwards, yeah.
What was that, 96?
Yeah.
Yep.
We were going to go drink. Oof. Someone told me he was going to give me $5 for my whole outfit.
Mm-hmm. What'd you tell
him? I told him to do the anatomically impossible too.
Only you want to make $5 the hard
way? That's
not
true. What I told him to do was possible, but right. it would have been
incestuous.
Yeah, it would have been gross.
Yeah. And then your brother had to save you from.
Yeah, he grabbed me.
Good guy, your brother.
He is much better person.
Very nice person.
So you've always had this chip on your shoulder type.
Yeah, you got something to say about
it? Yeah, I do. What are you going to say?
She'll break a nail.
I broke one this morning getting gas.
You actually pumped your own gas?
Yes,
that means, by the way, it's really serious about that other thing.
Right.
So
oh, right.
We should
right.
really
oh,
just
right.
drop it.
That's true. I'm getting little hints here. We'll talk off the air, right?
Enough.
Will we?
Speaking of enough, did you get enough of Josh Hamilton hitting home runs last night? That was one of the most impressive performances that I've ever seen. And I know it's just an exhibition. I know it doesn't count for anything.
But it's impressive.
But 28 home runs in one round. I could not stop. I was mesmerized watching every swing.
My only issue with the Home Run Derby is the format that they have.
Yeah, they need
to
change the format.
Because I got to be honest with you, Paul. I fell asleep somewhere in the second round, and I woke up after it had ended, so I didn't know who won.
Is that what you do on Sundays during the fall?
Enough.
Is that why the stories
fall asleep during the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, once in a while I doze here and there.
When they're running up the score?
Well, it's kind of hard not to.
It's because he gets up so early to exercise and have waffles.
Charlie waffles?
Eggo waffles.
I'll make you some waffles next time. Don't worry.
Did you see Charlie waffles a couple of weeks ago? Hi ho.
Wait, what?
She nodded her head. Yes.
I looked at Gary and he was like,
"Did you catch that?"
No, I was thinking about Charlie waffles and I wasn't paying attention.
I told her I'd make her waffles next time around. She goes, nods her head. Oh yeah, and then she goes,
"Wait a minute,
what?"
I like chocolate chip waffles.
But no, my issue with the Home Run Derby is, I woke up thinking that
with
Josh
ketchup.
Hamilton had won the Home Run Derby because he had 28 home runs when I last seen it.
Right.
I woke up and I see that. That Morneau won. And I'm thinking, what did he do? Hit 30 home runs? I forgot that in the final round they don't do the
cumulative
anymore.
Well, they changed that. I think they should just have one round. Everybody has a fair chance. Everybody hits and made the winner.
But if they want to make it, you
emerge.
Know, if they want to make it a 3-hour affair, make it a little bit more competitive.
That was great, though.
Suggestion is.
Forgetting about everything with his story, which is an amazing story in itself.
The addiction and all that other
stuff
coming back from that.
But he comes 28 home runs. And
they weren't cheap.
He didn't have a cheap one in the bunch. I mean, they were just – I mean, I don't know how many – I was talking to Gary. How many of them were hit so high they actually looked like they were going to go out of the stadium?
I thought they were.
Like over the – you know, the white –
Over the white
– you know,
rail.
Whatever you know, you call.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just was amazing to watch.
See
– I was bummed out that he only had 3 in the final.
I think they said maybe he got tired by the time he got to the finals and that's why he didn't have as many.
You could see it too. In the second round, he didn't have to go in the second round because the 28
right.
was cumulative, but he decided to take a few swings just to stay a little bit loose.
Mm-hmm.
And he started off, he hit another, I think he hit 2 bombs in the first 2 swings. Then he went kind of cold. He hit a couple of grounders, a couple of line drives, and I think the last four or five swings he took, he didn't hit home runs, and you kind of thought to yourself, did he, you know, lose his groove
himself
a little bit?
Well, that's why I was thinking after that, my suggestion would be, if you want to have rounds, do the first round, give them 10 swings each. That way, whoever has the most of those 10 can advance to the second round. You know, get like the top three or four, move them to the second round, give them another 10 swings. Whoever gets the most out of that, the final two, go into the finals. And then in the finals, you have your unlimited number and your 10 outs. That way, you have the possibility of getting, you know, they're not overworked, they're not overtired, and then they have the possibility of hitting 28 home runs like he did in the first round. So
it's better than Kyle watching Escándalo.
That Mexican TV station is one of the most distracting things in the
world. The girl's getting a little heavy on the end there, though.
You know I don't speak Spanish. In English, please.
So anyway.
Eric, did you play baseball ever?
No, I didn't. Sandlot, that was about it.
Yeah, he played for the Red Sox, too.
What's Sandlot?
Like he played for, just, like he played for BU football.
I didn't play organized baseball.
Oh.
But, no, I actually, why do you got to keep, that's hurtful, Paul.
Well.
That's hurtful.
The best of the best for Eric Scalvino.
But, you know, Hamilton's
I thought it was an amazing...
ridiculous.
Just an amazing feat.
It was fun. That was the most fun thing to watch.
What do you have, like four that were over 500 feet?
Three. 518.
But, I mean, it's a letdown when the guy who wins it isn't the guy that you remember being the story of the night.
Right. That happened in Boston, too, with McGuire in 99.
Right.
He hit all those home runs.
Yeah,
Griffey, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, but see, you'll remember Hamilton. You won't remember Morneau.
Right.
But I remember, just like I remember McGuire from the one in Fenway.
Right.
I was there. I don't remember who won it, but I remember McGuire.
I'm not surprised that you scammed your way into a seat for that.
Well, I really.
I actually was all set to go to that, and that's right when I left the Herald to come here. And I kind of lost out on my seats as a result.
I had a choice, and I took the Home Run Derby. I made a mistake.
I see. Well, who knew? Who knew what was going to happen the next night with Ted Williams and everything? But I would have done the same thing. You know what I did go to that was a lot of fun, all-star related? People are going to laugh, but the NHL all-star game when it was in Boston in 96? Yeah, the skills competition was great. Great. I scammed a ticket to that.
In 96, they were only 6 years old.
What were you, eight?
I was born in 86.
No,
so.
I was 88.
Oh, you were born in 86?
Yeah, I'm 21. I'm a big boy. So.
Oh. Oh, my God.
Just in case you're interested over there, Lori.
I know. I saw the wink.
Lori's a cougar. You know, she's 25 now.
She's a cougar.
Hey, what does that mean?
You're an older woman looking at a younger guy. That's
looking to train.
It's a compliment.
Are you calling me old?
It's a compliment, Lori. Thank you, Gary.
Thanks, Gary.
Certainly in my lexicon, a cougar is a compliment.
I always compliment you. You know that.
Yeah, here
we're
and there.
Tight.
Yeah, we're cool.
86.
We're cool,
right? He was born in 86.
And offers you food.
So he was born in 86, and he was born in 90. Those are two special years in my life.
You want to eat my salad? I graduated from elementary school.
High school and college.
And high school in 90. Get the hell out of here, you two. You're bothering me. I don't feel old, though, Paul. Do you feel old? You probably do.
I feel every bit as old as I am. No, he's older.
I just
pointing fingers and everything.
No, we're about 4 years behind.
Who's older, Gary or Paul?
Paul.
Fred's the only one older than me.
And Fred is surprisingly younger than I would have expected.
Significantly older than me.
Okay.
Yeah.
7 years.
Yeah. No, yeah.
That's a lot.
But it's significantly younger than I expected him to be.
It's not like a decade.
He was already picking up chicks by the time I was seven. That's a lot of luck can happen there.
Lori Strippers has a question for you regarding Maura's wedding.
Oh,
actually, her bachelorette party. He wants to know if she needs any strippers because he does book males too.
Tell him I'll be
strippers
in touch.
Strippers is the best.
I'll be in touch.
All right,
with what, the strippers?
That's just Maura's bachelorette party.
Yeah, you're not supposed to touch, Lori.
No.
Why do you get mad?
You guys always twist everything I say.
Why
do you get so mad?
Because I could say the sun is shining and you guys would find something perverted about it.
That's true. That's what guys do.
Little boys.
Don't make fun of the Sopranos. They're right there.
They're the only ones that not saying anything. They're being good.
We've had some.
Have you eaten enough there, Kyle? All right.
This is we haven't heard from him in a while. James from England. I think he's had some hurt feelings with James from Wales.
Oh.
James from England was the guy who created our MySpace page, the PFW in Progress MySpace page. He was supplanted by James from Wales, who created the whole PFW in Progress juggernaut site. So we haven't heard from James in England
for a
while.
What kind of site?
PFW in Progress site.
But you just use
the Juggernaut.
Juggernaut.
Right.
We'll look it up after
for
you.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay. But he writes in, guys, James from England, just checking in. I'm coming out to Maine to visit a friend on September the 19th and was thinking of driving up and spending some time
in
Foxborough.
Such an idiot.
And buying you guys lunch, Paul.
Nice.
How about that? As I won't do it over the net without PayPal. They love that PayPal thing. Everybody loves that PayPal.
Why don't you just set up a PayPal account?
Fred is a little concerned about the PayPal thing. You'll have to ask him.
All right.
But anyway, James continues, I don't want to come up unless I'm sure Paul and Fred will be there, so... Do you guys have any vacation time at the end of September and early October?
No. Everybody will be here at that
ends
time.
Next Thursday, our vacation ends. When training camp starts, we are prisoners of PFW until...
Yeah. So you don't have any vacation
once
time.
Camp begins, the only time between the start of camp and the end of the season that anybody wouldn't be here would be for some special reason on an individual day. If something were to happen.
Yeah, a personal issue.
Yeah,
or whatever.
Personal day, a doctor's
sickness,
appointment
right.
or an illness or something like that. But there'll be no vacation,
Time until
between the end of July and
whenever the
hopefully
season
the
January
start of February.
So where
how was that? Was that pro-patriot enough? Hopefully the start of February? I'm on board, Gary.
I'm defending the Patriots, Fred.
You know why? Because we're going to Tampa this year. You know what's in Tampa, my friend.
What's in Tampa?
The Super Bowl.
Places.
What kind of places?
Gentlemen's establishments.
Places like
Ron's
Venus.
Strippers
enjoys, yeah.
Space Odyssey.
I might tell Beth.
You can go right ahead. I'll have no qualms telling her where I'm going. You think I'm afraid of her?
All right.
You think I'm afraid of her?
You're getting a little defensive, Paul.
I just want to know if you think I'm afraid of her
chip.
Or not.
Got to get rid of that.
Don't touch me.
Ooh. Now he's getting serious. Now you're like the woman in Babies R Us.
Woman, she touched you?
If the woman
if
touched
she had,
me,
if,
I would have had to get security.
It would have been on. It would have been on.
I would have gone to get security. How is that not out of bounds? Wow. I'll tell you, the NFL officials stunk even in the 80s. Steve Largent is screaming at the guy.
James from England says that he and his friends have also started a T-shirt website and would like to swing by with some free tees for Paul, Fred, Andy, Gary, Laurie, and that other guy, Eric. So if Gary could reply with your T-shirt sizes, that'd be great, and... He doesn't want to get any of our T-shirt sizes wrong, so.
I would say get, what do you take, Lori, for a T-shirt?
T-shirt, medium, small, medium.
All right. Get a small for Lori, all extra,
extra
larges
small.
in a itty-bitty medium for Eric over there.
Yeah, I'll take a medium. That's fine.
I was just going to say all extra larges in the medium for you, but I forgot Lori needed a T-shirt, too. So she can't have an extra large.
Do they have ones for dolls for two-gender?
That's true.
Oh, write that down.
Mini Gary.
Yeah, he's tiny.
He's the tiniest person in this building. Mini
is
Gary
he smaller
is.
Than you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Smaller?
You're kind of tiny.
Yeah, but he's smaller. He's thinner frame.
You're a wee little lad. Where's he from, Mini
Gary? I have muscles,
Gary?
Though. At least. He doesn't have any muscle. He's all...
That's true. As Matt pointed out extensively about
right.
your lats.
Right through my dress shirt, you could see my
lats. Oh, I'll tell you, that was another one.
A little
that
awkward
was
for you?
Awkward.
A little awkward.
Awkward doesn't even begin to describe it. It's uncomfortable and just inappropriate in every conceivable way.
Why?
I don't know.
Glad I was out of the country.
last week I would have been able to tell you why I was uncomfortable. I can't do that anymore.
I know.
Did I miss something?
We're on our best behavior today, Lori.
We'll tell
I
you
love
later.
It.
We'll
you
no,
love
you
what?
Love it.
It's nice, you guys being on good behavior.
It won't last.
Can you imagine if this with what Lori's been through today if we weren't?
I know. This is good behavior? It's been better, it has. But still, it's been... Okay.
What have we done to you? Seriously.
We look out for you all the time. You were like a little sister to us, you know that?
Yeah, true. You guys are the better half.
See that?
Of the Tom, Andy.
Strippers has another question, but it's for us. It says, who will be the first person to visit Tom in Vegas? Eric, maybe? Andy? Paul? Fred?
Kyle.
I'm going with that.
Yep. Don't wait by the phone.
Well, Andy hates Vegas. He went there and didn't like it. Mm-hmm.
How do you hate Vegas?
I have two young kids, so the chances
it's
of me
Andy.
Getting to Vegas in any time in the next 15 years is probably nil. Eric, that would make you the only real candidate. And based on what you're saying today, you hate the guy, so I don't think you're going.
It's for the show. It's for the show.
Yeah. Well, is that what it's for?
Yeah, it's for the show. I have to.
Fred's not going.
The listeners told me I had to step it up. You guys
you
have
do.
Been telling me I had to step it up.
You do have to
so
step
I'm
it up.
So I'm putting on my Tom edge. I'm putting on a little edge.
No one said you had to take over Tom's alter ego, become Tom alter ego. You could just, you know.
Well, it worked for him, so, you know, figured I'd give it a shot. See, try it on for size.
Do you have a lot of different screen names now, too?
No.
Oh.
Are you writing in all these nice letters to yourself?
No. No.
I could be the next one to go to Vegas.
That's true. Yeah, they forgot about Gary and Mini Gary. Always forgotten, just like at Fred's party.
Gary, you're going to have kids soon. You're not going to Vegas.
Can you believe he didn't get invited to Fred's party, Lori?
He was invited.
10 years in a row.
10 years in a row. He's never gotten the invite. Mini Gary got the invite and was there.
The Sopranos were there. Well, they had the invite. They had the invite anyway.
They had the invite, and they turned it down.
Where'd you guys go?
Oh, he's never been invited.
Soprano number one had to go under the knife.
I had to help my mom.
Aw, his mom.
I had to take care of her.
Gary.
Where was he? Your mom's.
Your mom.
Your mom goes to college.
Lori, now Gary knows how you felt when you didn't get invited to his wedding.
Touche. Touche.
I wasn't heartbroken, though.
Yes. My heart was bleeding.
You were it
hurt just a little.
No.
Just a little
I
bit.
I was upset when you tried inviting me the day before.
I did not do
I was
going to
say,
like,
that was what we...
What are you doing on
that's
Saturday?
What, me and Andy were doing that. Gary didn't do that.
Whatever, Gary.
Whatever.
We're cool.
Lori, what's more rude, to not be invited and once people get send their declines in to be invited?
The B-list? I didn't have a B-list either, Gary.
We're cool, Gary. It's all good.
Great, I can sleep tonight.
Good.
All I can say is it had to hurt a little bit to not even be on the top of the
okay,
former
Andy.
Patriots cheerleader list. That's all I can say.
Quote, unquote, Andy.
And she didn't even get to go, thanks to her job. So
what are you going
to
do?
Space was open for you.
There are more important people in this world for Gary.
I didn't invite her. We have one more equal time
man,
message,
I was
Eric.
Just, I know. I was just going to
wow,
mention
Gary's just disgusted with us today.
Pompous, arrogant, kind of creepy, a little weird. Don't skip a beat. Replace Tom Casale with Brian Lowe. He worked for the New England Revolution and lost the gig. He hosted Patriots Today and lost the gig. He hosted podcasts and, yep, lost the gig to Lori Baranski. But if for nothing else, he's got experience, I guess. And we aren't sure, but we think that without Brian Lowe, we would have never heard Tom say,
"Look at that douchebag."
That's why you should vote Lowe in 08. And because he has like 6 votes right now. Make sure you tell your friends to log on to pfwinprogress.com to vote for the new co-host to replace Tom. And make sure you tell your friends to buy us lunch. Brian Lowe. Because the vote doesn't really matter. Fred'll just bring in someone who leaves suddenly anyways. Now that I think of it, definitely vote Lowe.
I'm Brian Lowe, and I don't approve this message whatsoever. Make sure you go tell your friends to go f*** yourself.
I still can't believe you got him to say that.
If that doesn't make you want to vote for him, I don't know what will.
He actually had a huge spike after that.
I'm not surprised. That's see, like,
what,
Brian,
is he at 12 now?
Like 26.
That's
really good.
He hosted Pages Day and lost that gig.
Lori, make sure you go tell your friends to go f*** yourself.
See, Bielo and I are kind of in
Bo
the same
Jackson
boat here.
Just running wild on the Seahawks in this Monday night game, I'll tell you.
Yeah, he was.
Did you guys ever hear of Bo Jackson?
The football player?
Or the baseball player?
Or the guy who did all those Nike commercials?
Yeah, I'm a sports fan. Thanks.
All right.
See, you even have to be pompous to the interns.
It's
quite unbecoming.
It's what I do. It's what I do.
What's the matter, Lori? Why are you looking at me? I didn't yell at you for the last 5 minutes. What could you possibly be mad at me
I didn't even say anything.
You gave me a bad look.
I didn't give you a bad look.
Just a little
bit. I was actually kind of agreeing you with my eyebrows going like this.
Just a little bit.
You have
it's
to be able to
look.
Read the eyebrows, Paul. Yeah, that's bad eyebrow right there.
That's the eyebrow.
Yeah. And if you get
kind of like the hairy eyeball.
Well, if she sticks the pinky up at you,
double
that's
pinky
another,
is the worst.
That's the bad one.
Oh,
I remember the day you got the two of them at the same time. That was not. Not one of your better days.
I cried myself to sleep on my tiny little pillow on that day.
That time. Wasn't so tiny, was it?
I have a small head.
Smaller than Andy's.
Well,
it's a quarter of the size of Andy's, for God's sake.
Anyways.
7, by the way.
That's your head size?
I have a small head.
Really? Even with all that hair? Yeah, whatever.
You should be talking.
I'll tell you.
He has more than I do. That's why I'm asking, because I have a larger head
size.
Yeah,
that's why
he's
asking.
I do. I have a 7 1/8.
With the hair?
Yes. And Paul has more
than
I do.
You're growing it out again.
No, I'm not. It's just the normal 2-week
no,
thing.
No, you grow it out.
What in the hell is going on?
The last 5 minutes.
Fred's not here. When Fred's not here, I'm telling you, all hell breaks loose.
Now, I heard a rumor, Paul, that you might not be, for personal reasons, might not be here on Thursday.
Yeah, I might have an issue.
Now we're having.
I'm trying to be here because I love the show.
I realize that, and
maybe really, we'll be here.
You also love chicken wings, which we're supposed to get.
That's the big reason why I'm trying to be
on
here
on Thursday. From
yes,
one of our,
we are looking forward to that very much. So, is it which is it, Chris?
Christian.
Christian. I wanted to make sure I didn't want to say Chris in the Bronx. I know it wasn't Chris in the Bronx, but. No. Christian is going to be kind enough to provide us lunch that day, and I would love to be here.
And we know Lori now is going to be here.
Lori will be here because she's just
chicken wing fanatic.
She's a... never mind.
What? She's a what?
We're cleaning it up a little bit, so I'm not going to say what I was going to say.
But if you're unable to do so, that's going to mean you're going to leave me alone with Andy Hart.
That could be...
It'll just be you.
That could be a bloodbath.
Yeah.
That
and Lori.
Yep.
Well, yeah.
The Sopranos will be here.
Well, I know.
I have to
I mean,
make sure I'm here for all the bad shows. So that, you know,
all those all those shows happen to have food and chicken wings served on them, too. Did you happen to notice?
Touché.
Your mom.
So please don't do this to me, Paul.
I'm trying to get here. If I can get...
See, I can handle
get child care worked out.
I can handle doing a show with you
bring
because, as you know, you're my favorite among this group.
But I don't know if that means
Andy's
anything.
Andy's at the other end of the spectrum.
Thank you.
When it comes to that.
That's true.
He knows that.
Is this the last Tuesday that Andy takes off?
Who knows?
God
knows.
In his Tuesday
odysseys? I
believe, odysseys?
Yes. All the oil has been drilled.
Listen to a previous show if you don't understand what he's saying.
Yeah, because we can't explain that.
We can't explain that stuff
anymore.
I can't be pompous and explain the joke.
Can we keep my breasts out of it?
Well,
you get that, Dan?
Mark tape there, Dan.
You didn't even bleep it.
Talking about chicken.
Oh, okay.
That was the context, I believe. So anyway, that's what you guys have to look forward to on Thursday.
I just realized I forgot to put the filter on the pool this morning. That's not a good thing. Yeah, that's not
this
good.
It's a great show.
But yeah, you did a good job of keeping the filter on your mouth for the whole 2 hours.
Did I?
I think so. We'll find out when we get upstairs.
I don't know. This show is going to have to change, I think.
It's going to have to end.
Paul and I are going to throw down first.
Are you still mad at me?
Lori, as we explained before, on the way up to the
everything's
office,
radio,
everything's all good again.
All right, what happens here stays here.
Right, exactly.
And I was never mad at you anyway.
So maybe Paul will see you Thursday. If not, it's just going to be me and Gary and Andy
Fathead.
Hart.
And the Sopranos.
And the Sopranos.
And the Wings.
See you next Thursday.